United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned as head of the PTL club.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. The show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Monday, Monday, so good to me. Monday morning, it was all I hoped it would be. Oh, Monday morning, Monday morning, couldn't guarantee that Monday evening you would still be here with me. Monday, 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 sometimes it just turns out that way. Oh, Monday morning, you gave me no warning of what was to be. Oh, Monday, Monday, how could you leave and not take me?
Hey, good morning and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM. It is Monday morning and it's the 2nd of June, 2014. And it's 8 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock. And, what you know, it's really sad. The room is usually full on Monday and nobody's here but you and I.
I know, it's different.
I mean, we're living, well, the mamas and the papas.
Jeff is on Jeff. That's an old band.
Oh, yeah.
Old group. That's when music was pretty.
Pretty music?
Pretty music. It was safe.
Monday, Monday.
Yeah, that was mundane, I think is what it should be called.
This is the worst. They were getting... But you think these people are now running our world. If they're not dead.
Nah. Uh-huh.
Monday, Monday.
No, it's the wrong... It should be called mundane. Boring as can be. Please put me to sleep.
Well, you listen to crazy music.
Well, I listen to the
crazy music.
Music that has a lot of raw emotion.
No, you listen. No, that's not raw emotion. That's
well, you know
just,
what
no.
I saw? You know, I saw the other
what?
Day and I was really impressed because I'm not a really big fan of him. Snoop Dogg was on Guitar Sessions. I was pretty impressed.
Doing what?
Talking about the nature of his music and how things evolved and where he is now, where he's going, and. You know,
let me tell you how things evolve. Dre is a billionaire.
Yeah, that's how things evolve. No, but
how do things evolve?
No,
Dre is a millionaire.
No, he went from being a control freak on his first couple records.
No,
to,
he wasn't.
To actually being a no, he wrote all his stuff. Now he's letting people write for him.
Because he's too high to write. Because I was high, he's still high. You
yeah.
know, usually when you evolve and you grow up.
Mm-hmm. You don't get high anymore.
You put down, or you don't, you ease up. Whoa, horsey, you know, too old. You get too old for stuff. You don't stand all night long. You don't get blown out the water.
I don't know. I mean, I look at the Rolling Stones, and they're still going.
Are they still as high as they were when they were kids?
Hey, listen, anybody that snorted his father's ashes is probably
going to
be high forever,
that's
yeah.
No, that was just a... You woke up the next day and you got high because you're like, that was really dumb.
Yeah, I don't know if that was dumb or that was what he's about, but he still looks like he's stoned on stage, but he can play.
Yeah, but Snoop is a rapper, and it's not necessarily, he's good at what he does, but
And you're saying it's a kid's game.
No, you're supposed to grow up, and you're supposed to evolve. And I'm not going to cut him any slack because I had the opportunity to work for him and to work with him as a young person.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw him 20 years later, I expected more out of him, and I didn't get it. And so I am really not impressed now. Absolutely. He came to Youngstown. And
I did a show in Austin.
And remember I told you I went out?
Mm-hmm.
And I could have been his dead grandmother.
Hmm.
And I just have a problem when people don't grow up. You know, I love that we love our family and we love our children, but there comes a point in time that we have to grow up and take responsibility of our business, of our family, of our environment, of our music. You can't do that being you can't be that stone.
Well, I agree. I agree with you there. You got to do it sober.
You got.
I think you'd be impressed if you saw the soft.
Again, he has impressive moments. He has impressive moments, but growing up means putting down some of your – you can't stay out all night long, get drunk all night long, party all night long and be a great parent and be a great role model.
No, but he's done some things
– Right, boy. I mean, he does some flag football. He does some stuff for the community.
He does
more than others.
Yes.
He does more than a whole lot of people.
And you have to admit, he does have a real smooth voice.
Yes, he does. But there comes a time. If you want to get high and you want to get drunk and you want to go in the middle of Dodger Stadium and play baseball torn up from the floor, you need to do that. But when you go on the road, you need to be coherent enough to where you're handling your business and not everyone else.
Yeah.
You need to know your environment. You need to know what you're doing. Because that doesn't set a good example for the future.
No, it doesn't. But
we all make mistakes, and we all are do stuff that we shouldn't do. And it's not saying that people don't drink anymore, get high anymore. That's not what I'm saying. And I don't whether I agree or disagree with it. But there comes a time in your life that you ought to grow up. Hey, Aminty, how are you this morning?
I'm doing good. I was crying this morning a little bit. Heard something.
Why
like,
are you crying?
No, because the news. Touched me, these two little kids, seven and I think 3 years, 7 and 6 years old, got stabbed on the elevator.
Huh?
And, and it hit close to home, and it teared me up just a little bit.
Whoa, go back. Two children in New York?
Yes, they were on the elevator, and they got stabbed up. And the person fleed out the building. The little boy was instantly killed, and little girl's in critical condition.
They were 6 and 7.
Yes.
Oh my
God. He looked
God.
Younger. Little boy looked a little younger than 6. He looked like he probably was like 4. 4 years old.
I'm reading it now.
Yeah, 4 or 5. It touched me. It took me to laugh at old Sterling's girlfriend, you know, her getting beat up to cheer me up, but Sterling's girlfriend, you know, the one who exposed him with the tape, she got punched in the face or something, she got beat up. She's wearing like this big thing over her face.
I thought she was doing that for
fashion.
No. She got beat up. She's covering her face. She's trying to hide now.
No.
Yeah, but the two children, that touched me. And the reason why, Tracy, is because, good morning, Jeff. Sorry, I'm just.
Jeff's not there. that's Ben. I'm sorry. Ben's here and I'm here. Sticks is running late. No, Sticks is on his way. Jeff is MIA. He's always late. That's nothing new.
because, you know, I see children out here play by themselves. And I don't even come back into the house and let my children sit in the hallway.
Who would stab who would stab two kids in the elevator? Who would do that?
Ride in an elevator unattended?
But still.
That's my point. He's making my point. Their children, I see this all the time. I see parents that let their little children play outside all day. They let them play in the lobbies. I guess they think it's safe to do this, so they let them play and they run in the hallways. One of my neighbors do that. And it's dangerous because what happens is you open the doors for your children for predators. There's children that I see play outside so much. If someone else is watching them, they can know the exact time when to hurt them, when to kidnap them. There are children missing in my neighborhood as well.
No way.
Yeah, there's been children missing in my neighborhood. They've been getting kidnapped between 9 and 11 years old, have been getting kidnapped out here. And I think yes, but the thing is the responsibility falls onto the parent. A 6 and 7 year old should not be in an elevator by themselves.
Listen to what I'm saying. Listen, we played outside. We lived in if you lived in the project, we'd go over to relatives or friends' house who lived in the projects, and you would be outside playing. If you had a neighborhood, you'd be playing outside in the yard, in your friend's yard, be eating dirt and all kinds of stuff. Your parents would be back inside doing stuff. But who staffs little kids?
But that's the thing, Tracy. Times have changed. We can't do that. I don't even feel safe.
Yeah.
Allowing my two children in the hallway while I run back in the house to get my keys. They have to come back in the house with me. Even if I have.
I mean, what's wrong?
Yeah, you know.
I mean, what's wrong? I mean, there was a time where kids were off limits, you know?
Yeah. It has changed now. We have so much pedophilia that's heavy out here. Predators is really, we have to protect them. And also in this neighborhood, it is a lot of child predators. It is a lot of people on that registered sex offender list. I look at the polling, and there's new people added constantly on that thing. So if you have that, you have to be careful. This is not a neighborhood to carry that on because you don't know who's amongst you. And this is New York City, too. I'm in the city, so I'm very much more leery.
New York City and city is a whole lot different than where we are here. But I'm saying, I'm just overall, who
kills children?
Who stabs kids?
Stabs children? Yeah.
Let's slow down because we got a lot of time. It's only 18 minutes after 9 o'clock. We got two and a half more hours. Who stabs kids?
Yeah.
I mean, come on, y'all. That's the craziest thing I've heard in a long time. Who goes into an elevator and says, I feel a threat. I think I'll stab a kid.
Yeah.
Was this elevator in where they lived, in the building they lived in, or was it a public building? What was it?
It was the building they lived in. That they lived in because the people who responded on the to the news, they all said, we can't believe this. We see these children every day. These are the children that play with our children. That's what they said.
Wow.
They couldn't believe it. They were just shocked. One woman was just appalled. She was like, these are our children. They play with my children, and I see these kids every single day.
Listen to this. They say the heavyset killer, believed to be in his 20s, pulled out a knife and stabbed both children in the torso and on the lift somewhere between the first and fourth floor after telling them to shut up.
Oh, no.
The attacker ran off through the housing project and ditched the murder weapon that was soon found by cops, authorities said. Both children, meanwhile, were left bloodied and fading fast. Michaela had enough strength to stumble out of the elevator onto the first level, but soon collapsed up to the floor, a trail of blood marking her attempt to flee. The boy was discovered in the elevator and arrived on the fourth floor, police said. She was laying face up. The EMTs opened up her jacket, and all they could see was blood. The little boy was covered head to toe in blood. And they showed up. This is so bizarre. I'm with them. This is so unbelievable.
Yeah, it touched me. I usually ignore it, but that one right there, that one touched me. It just was like, oh my God.
Yeah, but you know what? They'll make the murderer turn out to be a victim too. Mark my words.
So
yeah.
They'll turn the murderer into a victim.
How you going? No, They can't do that.
You know, with the, you would think they can't, but they'll try. They'll say, oh, he was mentally ill, or he was raised in a one-family parent home, or, you know, trust me, their attorneys, his attorney will spin things around.
Eric, I turned your mic down. You're making noise. Benton's over here now making noise.
I'm sorry, I'm not making noise anymore.
What would you call that? Open up the package.
The sound of silence.
Oh, he was 7. Yeah, he looks little. Yes, he was 7.
Yeah, I'm reading it. He was 7.
So she was 7 too? They're the same age?
No, 6. And, I think it says 6 and 7.
No, Michaela King, she's 7. Oh, they wasn't even family. They wasn't even sisters. Oh, my God.
But it doesn't look that way.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, a 6-year-old boy and a 7-year-old girl in critical... 6-year-old boy is dead and 7-year-old girl is in critical condition after being stabbed in Brooklyn.
Yeah, okay,
it happened just before 6 p.m. yesterday. On a Sunday afternoon. Hey, Eric, what's going on with you?
Hey, Tracy, how you doing?
I'm good. Can you top that one?
I don't know what to say. This, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, did humanity sink any lower?
No. That's some crazy stuff, ain't it?
That's crazy. I mean, I remember growing up as a kid, when two grown people had a beef, they would make sure every single kid around was out of the way, and then they would do what they had to do. Nowadays, it doesn't matter. Just whatever.
But, you know, it's I was thinking about this, and I got to take a break in just a second. But I was thinking about this today and this morning and last night about how the world has changed. Because, you know, Alice from the Brady Bunch died on yesterday.
Yeah.
And if you look at, I mean, do you look, did you see some of the clips of what they were actually showing on television now? And what they're showing on then, with Alice and the Brady Bunch. I mean, and we were talking this morning when I first opened up, I started with the mamas and the papas and the music.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about, you know, you said mundane, but look at the lyrical content of this.
Yeah.
Monday. I mean.
It was happy.
It was
safe. It was.
Where today, everything seems to be very, very violent, very, very demonic, very, very sexist. Or sexism.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Everything. You will not... And everything as... Everybody... You have to be the butt of the joke to be... And we celebrate murder.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Mike, how you doing? Where have you been lately?
Oh, I've been busy working and stuff, Tracy. Missing you guys every day. Every day I look up and see it's past noon and I miss the show again.
It's like hearing
you again.
It's good to
and
have you here.
Sometimes I listen on the internet, though. Sometimes I'll have it on in the office on the internet.
Well, we appreciate that always. Listen, let me take my break. I'll be right back. I'll leave the mics on. You guys can talk. Diva, your mic is going to be on.
Yeah, because I wanted to talk to you about Alice from the Brady Bunch also.
Okay. You're listening.
Thank you. So, hey, Eric.
Morning, Eric.
Mama?
The boy's mother. The mother was 21 years old. Oh, my gosh, with a 7-year-old.
Yeah. Minty, did you have your baby yet?
No, I was not. I went yesterday. The doctor said I'm 2 centimeters, but they said I'm not in labor.
Oh, girl, you know what you got to do. Well, you had 2 kids, so you know what you got to do already.
Yeah. You gotta get out your Jane Fonda workout video and do some jumping jacks.
Yeah, man.
Or have your husband work you out.
Yeah. Hey, Diva. Hi.
Hello.
Yeah, I was so mad, though. I thought I was ready. I was having contractions and all. And it was like, oh, no, it's only 5 to 7 minutes apart. They have to be closer. I'm like, are you kidding me, lady?
If you get any closer, you're going to need more room in the apartment.
She was like, oh, you can go. Little boy, stop it.
Oh, they're not regular. Because I'm like, my contractions were 5, 7 minutes apart, but mine were regular.
Yeah. So... Hey, yeah, that thing about, I'm just sitting here in absolute shock about those 2 little kids. I mean, it's like, what kind of a nutcase? What kind of an evil person?
Yeah, it
goes beyond being mentally disturbed. You know, you can be mentally disturbed, but no, that is sociopathic behavior. That is total disregard for human life.
Yeah, and that's why.
Because it's schizophrenic.
And
be dealing with some stuff at that moment and lash out. not meaning to.
Yeah, you know what, too? And I go back to saying this. The responsibility is still on the parents.
The parents, exactly.
I see it all the time. And I'm taught, this is why it made me cry, because me and my husband, we're talking about it all. We have this conversation all the time about these children who are running around in the hallways, but just like what Tracy was saying. Nowadays, that's not safe. It's too many predators out here.
And plus, where they used to lock mentally ill people up, they can no longer do so. So if it is a mental, you have to admit that you have too many mentally ill people running around. And I'm not excusing them, I'm not justifying what they do, but the fact is that's a real problem that needs to be addressed. I'm sorry, I'm an advocate for mental illness, but at times they could be a danger to society, and something needs to be done.
I absolutely agree with you, Diva, and there is a mental facility.
I hate to say it, but in the black community
around here, but there's also a high percentage of sex offenders out here, and if you look at what their crimes are, a high percentage of them have molested children or has harmed a child.
Well, it doesn't seem like that person was a sexual predator. That person is either dealing with mental illness or sociopathy.
I hate to say it, but in the black community, a lot of these street gangs are safe havens for people to have mental illness, because let's face it, the crazier you are, the more respect you get when you're in a gang.
That's true. Well, because in the black community, we don't address mental illness.
Street gang people are not hurting children. You understand? Like,
they are.
They're in gangs, and they're running around with their gang, but they're not hurting little children.
They are. I mean, you'd be surprised at stuff that they have to do. I mean, sometimes it's off limits. But the fact of the matter is you have such a disregard for human life that the things that you are doing affects everyone around you, including shooting up apartment buildings and killing little children.
You know what? You have a point there.
Most female gang members have to be gang raped.
Right.
Most female gang members, they don't get jumped in. They have to be gang raped to get initiated.
Yeah. But back to your point about parental responsibility over the weekend. Oh, my gosh. Okay. First, I'm watching the news. A 4-year-old girl drowns in a pool at a birthday party. They had about 75 to 100 guests. The little girl first was in the pool with her little, you know, safety equipment on. She got out. They said she got out. Everybody's like, oh, I thought she went there. They all singing happy birthday to a 1-year-old. Somebody look, and the baby is floating in the middle of the pool. And I'm like, how can you take your eye off of such small children, or you have something so large that you're not paying attention to all the children? The mother... Specifically, I was so vigilant about my daughter. I didn't let her just run wild and roughshod all over the place because I was just worried about her. And then I'm watching the news again. We get a warning in the county near us. 4-year-old is missing. An hour later, they find him. And I'm like, come on, people. You have to be more vigilant about your small children. They wander off. Things happen. I just don't understand. Like, just let my daughter ride in the elevator by herself. I mean, she just now at 13, I felt comfortable with her going outside and riding her bike around the neighborhood, and I still don't feel too comfortable about that.
I had a situation with my mother one time, and I said to her, why didn't you keep an eye on her? Why were you in the back? And why was your husband in the backyard cutting grass? Why didn't y'all have the children in the backyard with you? And she fussed with me and said, she's 6 years old. I shouldn't have to keep an eye on a 6-year-old. And that was done. She was done after that. Well, she'd been done, but she was completely done with keeping my children after that.
I don't blame you. My mother, I get on my mother all the time because I'm like, Mom, just let the kids be kids, you know. But my mother, she's super over hyper vigilant. She hates when she's watching my sister's kids and they go outside, even to play in the yard. And I was like, well, you know, when we were in the projects, man, we ran all over the place.
But you
she's like, well, yeah, but it was like y'all, all three of y'all sisters, and then it was like 20 of y'all, because we all lived in there. So it was like I had all my cousins, first cousins, it was like 20 of us. She's like, who's going to mess with a group of 20 kids? It's like times were just different then.
That's what I was saying to Tracy. She said the same thing you said. I'm like, but times have changed. It's not safe because there's too many predators. That's just how I see it. There's too many predators out here.
Because they used to lock these people up.
And it's always been that way. It's just because of the internet now, it seems like there's more of them. But it's always been as much predators on the streets.
Yeah.
But they used to
lock these people up. Now pedophilia is technically a mental illness. It's technically a mental illness, so now they just treat them and release them. But they used to lock these people up.
There is an association. Nobody knows about it. It's called NAMBLA.
Yeah, I know. I've heard of them.
NAMBLA? Is that some disturbing stuff?
That's disgusting. That is disgusting.
I said the biggest question we need to ask is how was this man able to even establish?
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I found six. I got Ben. Jeff is MIA. It is what it is. Welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM. It's 33 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock here on the 2nd of June. I hope you're having a good day. And I've moved over from the Mamas and Papas in Monday to it is summertime. It's going to be a warm one today. And I heard the weatherman say this morning that we need to enjoy this weather the way it is. Without all the humidity, because humidity is coming, so enjoy these dry, warm days.
Mm-hmm. Humidity is relative. Because the first thing Amy said when she got off the airplane from Wyoming is my God, it's humid.
Okay.
Yeah, big sky country over there, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
She's dry. I mean,
yeah, they consider that high desert.
Yeah, she's dry heat. You know, we don't have dry heat. Pretty soon we're going to be sticky all day.
Mm-hmm. But it's less humidity here than it is, say, South Carolina or Florida.
Definitely.
That's true. Amethy brought up a thing that's going on in New York. Two kids got stabbed over the weekend. Can you believe that, six?
A six
and a seven-year-old in an elevator?
That's horrible.
Who stabbed kids?
I don't know.
In their own apartment building.
It didn't say, did it?
No, she didn't say. I was listening. She didn't say.
She said yes.
Were,
I asked her.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I saw
it. It was their own apartment building because the neighbor said these are kids our kids play with right in our building.
Wow.
Yeah. And they weren't a brother and sister. Figured that out. They knew each other. These two kids. One was seven, one was six.
Who does that?
And the mom was 21. That was really. I was like, oh my God. The mom was 21 for the 7 year old, the girl.
That explains the problem.
But I'm not.
Baby, having a child who didn't know how to parent, had no idea, no clue what it took to parent.
Yeah,
she probably didn't have a parent herself.
And didn't want to be a parent.
One at a time.
I've never been an apartment dweller, so I really don't understand it. But it would seem to me that a six-year-old being allowed to take an elevator down to go to a playground by themselves wouldn't be that big a deal.
New York City.
Oh.
New York City.
Well, yeah.
In Youngstown, no.
It's so close, no. And everybody knows everybody. And they feel because it's in the building or they're playing in the hallway that it's safer, but it's really not. It's dangerous.
I wouldn't even do it.
My neighbor does that. She lets her children run in the hallway crazy, and it makes me uncomfortable. And I had to learn to stop looking out the door, looking at, you know, look, make sure nothing happens to her kids. But you know, it's dangerous. It's just because anybody can run through that door. Anyone can just, anything can happen.
Well, anything can happen. I mean, but just, I mean, we have kids that play outside in the yard.
Right.
And you know, and I know New York City is different, but you think, you would think, I mean, outside of abduction and those kind of things, who in the world, what kind of monster, what kind of possession would stab two kids?
Yeah. I walked at that age, I walked a half a mile to the neighbors to go play.
You lived
myself.
In a country,
yeah.
Stick.
See, I lived more of a, I had more of a country setting when I was growing up, so it was a lot of woods. So me and my friends, we would just, we'd play in the woods. You know, we would ride our dirt bikes in the woods. We would, you know, fishing. There was a pond back there. So we really didn't play it in, like, in the city streets so much.
I mean, when I was, like, I was telling them during the break, when I was growing up, I, you know, grew up in the projects. Plus, I mean, it was a whole bunch of us. I mean, it was like, I had 21st cousins out there, so we didn't have no problem running around the whole entire projects of Westlake Terrace. But now, when my daughter was 6 years old, I'm sorry, she could not go outside by herself without me. It's just different. Even to let my nieces out, my niece and my nephew out, you know, don't go beyond the driveway.
Well, we understand the driveway, the porch, and we understand that part.
Front and backyards.
But I'm just baffled by we are struck by what happened to the children, but the mindset of the people, even in New York City, you didn't hear of grown people stabbing little kids.
No, not hurting children. No.
I mean, even in New York City, at whatever you, that's just not. That didn't happen.
Nope.
You don't stab little kids.
Nope.
That's why I say what I'm saying.
At one time, you never robbed a church.
Right.
I mean, see, churches are off limits. You mean you rob everything around it, but you wouldn't go in the church and rob it until now. Look at what's going on now. This is crazy.
I really.
Sorry, guys.
1-800.
Go ahead. I want to make sure you have the number. Hey, the number is 347-945-55. Simi, hold on a minute. The number is 347-945-5229. If you want to call us locally, you can. The number is 330-781-9600. And don't forget to download the WSOM app. You can actually call us straight from there.
Hmm. I will say this, one thing about New York City. That's, New York City is the reason I know about serial killers. Because growing up, remember 76, Son of Sam?
Yeah.
New York City. That was the first time.
Sorry.
No, I was just saying that's the first time I remember news being reported of a, you know, I growing up 10 years old, I didn't think, oh, people don't kill people.
New York City has such a melting pot, I have to say this, of people from other countries and cultures here. And believe it or not, you know, there's an extreme amount of abuse that goes on in those other cultures that we won't tolerate here. And they and they carry that on. I had a situation when I was like 14. This guy claimed that I stepped on his foot. Good thing my father, my stepfather, and my cousin was there. The man was going to hit me because he felt like I stepped on his foot, and they had to jump in and tell him, "If you hit her, I'm going to mess you up." You see, like these cultures.
But listen,
that happens with black people all the time.
Hold
in the
on,
club.
Wait a minute, Eric Diva, hold on, go ahead, Eric. He was trying to jump in, and he couldn't get
in. That's what Missy said. I remember when we lived in the park. My daughter was like 7. Some drunk guy walked up to me saying that my daughter was pointing a laser pointer into his apartment, and I'm thinking, she's not even here right now, dude. What are you talking about? I went down there, man. Look, it would have got bad, but he walked away, but he was right too.
Mm-hmm.
What are you saying, Diva?
I was just saying, stepping on somebody's shoe, that could be bad for you, especially in a black culture in a club. But it just goes back to personal responsibility. I was just thinking about how what's going on in Columbus here, we constantly have a problem with drownings. We had a 4-year-old little girl who died over the weekend. She was at a party. 75 to 100 guests for a 1-year-old's birthday party, and they said they saw her get out the pool, and nobody's paying attention to where she went, and they're singing happy birthday, and next thing you know, somebody looked and she was dead in the pool. Another little boy just yesterday was reported missing. An hour later, he turns up dead, which was just so shocking because I just went on my knees in prayer for him. You know, God, you know, Lord, just guide him back home. And then all of a sudden, the headline is they found him dead. It's just so shocking. I'm like, parents need to be better vigilant when it comes to their kids.
You can't have parents. You've taken the responsibility of the parent away from the adult and put it on everybody else. You can't have it both ways.
I'm not buying that, Tracy, because at some point you make a stand. Because I mean, my mom, you know what I'm saying? I can't say she would have won Mother of the Year award, but I learned through her mistakes and the things that she got right. I learned how to be a better parent myself.
I ain't talking about you.
But we make excuses for people.
I'm not making excuses.
Oh, we put on everybody else.
Diva, I didn't make excuses. I told you it's a culture we have created. This is not an excuse. This is an indictment. You create this culture, and so now you don't like the fruits of it. You can't have it both ways.
You're right about that.
Either you've got to have parents being responsible and taking ownership of their children in all aspects. But you can't ask them to be babysitters and not caretakers.
Yeah, you have an establishment that always stresses how we have to protect children, but yet they put things on the media that abuse children on a regular basis and put that image in front of people's faces, you know?
We talked about on the Friday, I think it was South Carolina brought up a young man who got arrested over the Memorial Day weekend because he was trying to chastise his 13-year-old son, make him become a man, grow up and take some responsibility, and because he made him carry a 23-pound brick, they put him in jail, charged him with a felony, and put a $35,000 bond on him. Hello? You can't have it both ways. Either the children belong to the community or the children belong to the parent. But you can't say the children belong to the community. I'm the babysitter, and then when something happens like this, it's the parent's fault.
Well, don't say community. Say state.
Okay, state.
Belongs to the state.
No, because
the state is not a community.
MSNBC said that the children were the communities. That's where it came from because, you know, they got all these little vignettes that come on between commercials that have all this wacky liberal mess about anything that is off color.
Mm-hmm.
Am I lying?
Yeah.
No.
Move forward. That's what
move forward.
Yeah. Well, you got to remember, this is not new. The Hitler Youth was taught that parents aren't important. The state's important, and it's okay for you to have sex at an early age and get pregnant because we need more young males to fight in the army. Literally, they would take women in the Hitler Youth movement in their teen years. And have them, I wouldn't say raped, because they were willing to do this for the father, you know, Adolf. They got pregnant on purpose without their parents even knowing. And it happened so easily, and people don't think it could happen here again.
They were called Hitler's children.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
I think he had a quote of giving me your children.
Yes.
And I'll give you.
No, I don't need you. I already have your children.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, how about Jay Carney? Mm-hmm. There's an article in a magazine called Washington Mom where they featured him and his wife. Their living room was full of communist pictures.
What?
Yes.
I put something on the Just page
about it. I meant to do yours, too. Sorry about that, Tracy. But, yeah, there is an article in Washington Mom magazine that shows posters on the walls in their living room of communist propaganda.
That's unbelievable to me.
You know, I need to find someone. If anybody's out there, because I know there's some people that are in that age group. During the 50s and 60s, the government and people had a real big thing about people that were communists. It was like a bad movie.
No, they actually McCarthyism is what it was called.
Okay.
And they literally went through Hollywood. They targeted Hollywood, and I think that's where we're feeling the backlash from McCarthyism today. Go ahead.
I said this article came out last week. Don't you find it funny that Jay Carney resigned Friday?
Yeah, he resigned Friday, but he's been there 5 years. So.
No,
Well, he started out in Biden's office.
Okay.
So he's been in the West Wing for
but he's in the press secretary for three.
Three, yeah. But he's been in the middle of the firestorm for five. And the commentators I listened to this weekend said that that it's a pressure cooker job, and about 5 years is about all you can stand.
Oh, yeah. But now wait a minute. But Biden's not, when he worked for Biden, he wasn't in the hot seat. He's only been in the hot seat for three. I mean, as Biden's press secretary, when's the last time, tell me this, who took Carney's job as Biden's press secretary?
I have no idea.
See what I mean? So there's no hot seat there. What are you talking about? Hello?
But it takes a lot of energy
to lie that good
for that many years.
It does.
No. It takes. He's been lying for three, but tell me anything that you heard out of Biden's office in the last.
Boy, a shotgun.
See. Well, he's. You know what it is. Carney, actually, he likes. This is not communist. It's
Yeah, it's Soviet era. Propaganda posters.
No. Right, and what it shows free speech. And
he likes
all about
political art.
Yeah, he likes.
He spent a lot of time in the Soviet Union.
Yeah, he's been his life in Moscow.
Yeah, he so.
You think he's indoctrinated?
I don't know if I would. I don't know if I would have Soviet era art on my walls, but I would definitely have stuff from like World War II.
But I mean, okay, you might have some Soviet era, but while he was there, he found some great prints. I mean,
even if he did believe in communism, he liked communism, I mean, it means nothing. It has no bearing on our political system. The fact that Alexander Hamilton wanted a monarchy and was still the treasurer in George Washington's administration. So, I mean, it just goes to show that it really doesn't matter. He just has a job to do, which is to be the White House correspondent, whatever you want to call him, and I want that job. But,
call you, Diva.
As soon as I heard it, I told you you should apply.
Yeah, Tracy and I had bets that you were the first person they were going to call as soon as he quit.
I understand.
You should have been listening to this show.
Diva, you're too honest. You can't do it, Diva.
I'm too honest, but I'll still be able to do it. Oh, trust
me. She can do
me.
It because she believes it, she drinks the Kool-Aid.
There's no Kool-Aid drinking. Maybe a little wine. No Kool-Aid.
Wow.
Well, you know, honestly, if I wanted a press secretary, I would probably hire somebody that was very, very – I mean, give me Joseph Goebbels.
But go back to my question for just a second. I only got a few minutes before my break. Tell me, and you said it's McCarthyism, but tell me what happened to that movement of going out to find the communists? How did it die? How did it go away?
Well, I think it all started when they targeted Hollywood. I think the backlash from them. I mean, they blacklisted people. You couldn't get a job in Hollywood if you were suspected of being a communist.
That's what I'm saying.
Now you can't get a job if you're suspected of being a conservative.
Right.
So, I mean, what happened to that era? Because, I mean, if you look at the movies, they were major movies, and there was big conversations about communists. They were scared of communists.
Well,
and I had a friend, he said, Tracy, we are the true communists of the world, and that's what we talked about. He said, we're everywhere.
As strange as this is, I mean, I think the communists have infiltrated the papacy, you know. There's a book out by who was a communist
right,
spy.
Because the communists knew that they couldn't take over without getting into the church because the South American people, they couldn't get into South America without adulterating the church.
Right.
So they had to get into the church. Well, look at that Father Flager over in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's...
Oh, yeah.
I don't
he's
know.
Out there.
Yeah, I haven't figured out why he hasn't been excommunicated yet.
That's a good question. I mean, I listen, you got to give the communists credit. They've done their homework. They've done their job, and they are alive and well.
Well, that's because everything they do, they look at everything on a long scale, a long term.
Right.
thing, you know.
They're not looking at the
and
next
capitalists
election.
Capitalists are just worried about making money.
Exactly.
So they just dissipated, or did they go underground, or are they on the rise again, or what are we seeing now?
Well, I mean, I think they've never gone away.
Okay, so they never went away, but the movement for trying to find them went away, right?
Because, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. I mean, now we actually, I think many places, and once again, this is all propaganda, but, you know, I mean, it's very, very popular to have a Che Rivera shirt on.
Yeah.
I see that. They had handbags that were all the rage about 20 years or 5 years ago in New York City with the hammer and sickle on them, the Soviet signs.
Okay, but my question is,
the
movement left, but the spotlight left.
I don't think people realize the dangers.
You hit the nail on the head earlier today.
The people that were communist
sympathizers in the 60s in the colleges are now in power now.
Jay-Z even said he's Che Guevara with bling on. I mean, he doesn't know that Che Guevara hated black people.
Yeah.
I don't think he cares.
I can't remember the name of the movie. There's an excellent movie out that walks from Karl Marx all the way to Barack Obama, and this person taught this person taught this person taught this person taught this person. It's Karl Marx through Hillary Clinton to Barack Obama. They all went to the same colleges. They all had the same professors.
Mm-hmm.
They all were indoctrinated into the same political views.
And you know, if you read and understand the principles of communism, it's a great idea.
It just doesn't work, it's
against human nature.
But again, whether it's against my question, because if you look at what's going on with the kids,
uh-huh,
and pedophiles and with our laws, if you look what's going on with our economy, I'm reading an article right now talking about electricity is getting ready to go through the roof again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking what's going on with our economy. I said this on Friday, and I began to think about it a little bit more when I got off the air. When it comes to Donald Sterling and the guy who's getting ready to pay $2.2 billion cash for the Clippers,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And how people.
And now another golf confessional brought to you by Golf.
And how this is people are liquidating their cash. Because if you liquidate your cash and put it into assets,
right,
you can always have something,
right,
instead of trying to have cash that doesn't
right.
mean anything.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at the communists and I look at what's going on. What is really where's going on here?
And remember, Warren Buffett doesn't buy stock; he buys companies.
Correct. But if you also look at George Soros, I think George Soros just dumped GE and picked up Google.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got Snowden coming out talking about facial recognition. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on out here.
The thing is, you have to remember, the National Socialists, the Nazis,
yes,
and the Communists are two sides of the same coin. They're the exact same people. We've been led to believe that the Nazis are right-wing and the Communists are left-wing, and it's not true. They are both left-wing organizations. The only difference was Hitler was a National Socialist, Germany first. The communists were workers of the world unite.
Mm-hmm.
That was the difference. The communists wanted a worldwide communist government, and the Nazis wanted a worldwide domination of the
German government.
The German government.
Yes, the Weimar.
Yes, that's all. That's the only difference in the two.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the tenets of communism is destroy the family. You have to destroy faith, and you have to destroy the family.
We're doing pretty good at that.
Yes, yes. Listen, there is a Nazi party in America today.
Absolutely.
And there is a Communist Party in America today. And both of them supported Barack Obama.
That's why Hitler used the color red, because he wanted to bring the communists into the Nazi party in Germany.
The reason that the communists wanted women in the workforce is because, let's face it, all the men were off dying in war.
I'm just finding this turn of conversation hilarious. I mean, you guys do understand that even around Martin Luther King Jr., he had communist sympathizers. His number two guy, basically, running that conference that he had, was a communist sympathizer. hence why he was being investigated. Martin Luther King himself was being investigated for communist ties or communist sympathies, because people are going to socialize with people maybe who have somewhat of like-minded tendencies, but that doesn't mean that they affiliate or really associate with that group or that political structure.
All I'm saying is that that group or political structure, the Nazi Party and the Communist Party, both supported Barack Obama.
Yeah,
so that's
and,
a fact,
and
that you can look at, you can look that up on their website, Diva, and you can read it for yourself. They both support Barack Obama. Now, Barack Obama's father. You read the book, right? You read his books.
Yeah, I did.
Okay, so you know Barack Obama's father was a communist.
He was a yes, he was a communist.
Okay, and you know. Well, the, his natural father,
his stepfather was also a part of a socialist.
Oh, yeah. Frank Marshall Davis.
His stepfather.
No.
I mean, his grandfather.
Hold
his
on,
grandfather
Eric.
Would have been more like a socialist. The mother would have been more like a socialist. His stepfather, I can't really get a read on his political ties. He was a businessman.
I couldn't get a read on him
way.
Either. Yeah,
but,
you read his book. It doesn't.
I mean,
he doesn't. I think he was a capitalist.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I would say
that's it. Let her finish
her statement, guys. Go ahead, Diva.
But the thing about it is, I mean, just because you associate with certain people around you does not mean that's who you are. I mean, I associate with drug dealers and gangbangers. That does not mean I subscribe to that lifestyle or part of that lifestyle. So you have to be careful and stop trying to draw the line six degrees of separation, because it's not going to get you anywhere. This conversation went completely to the left. It makes no sense.
Now, wait a minute. Hold on, Diva. Wait a minute. Hold on. Has President Obama showed you that he is not does not have socialist ideals?
Socialist ideals?
Sharing the wealth?
Hold on, Derek.
Hold on.
Go ahead, Diva. Has he showed you?
I have socialist ideals. That does not mean I'm a socialist.
So,
Diva, I've talked to you enough to know you are a socialist. You just don't know. You're a socialist.
Yeah, you are a socialist.
All right,
yeah, Diva,
okay.
I love you, Diva, but you're a socialist.
Then that means you guys have no idea, no clue what a socialist is. I'm sorry.
I know exactly what a socialist is. A socialist is a person who believes that the federal government should supply all to everyone.
I'll be right back.
No, see, that's why you don't know me, because I do not believe that.
They were brought up to believe that they were born to ordinary families, to loving and protective parents. Many years later, often by accident, they discovered that they are the descendants of Hitler's inner circle, children of war criminals, and it changed their lives forever.
Er hat doch aber den Juden nichts getan. Ja, also ein paar hat er dann schon auch mal umgelegt. Ich war wie.
Don't nobody care about Hitler and his Nazi Germany.
Sie hatten ja gedacht, diese Generation, sie hätten Helden. Und was dann passiert, am Ende haben sie rausgefunden, sie waren Massenmörder. Also, das ist ja ein Hammer, ne?
Ein paar? Ja, habe ich dir gesagt. Was meinst du denn mit ein paar?
Okay.
Zwei oder drei oder vier oder was?
Ich kann nicht einen Vater lieben, der Öfen voller Leichen hinterlassen hat.
OM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Battle over global warming heats up as the Obama administration makes a pitch to curb greenhouse gases from coal-fired power plants, setting a goal of cutting carbon emissions from coal plants by 30% by the year 2030. ABC's Stephen Portnoy in Washington.
In justifying these new rules, you won't hear the administration talk much about rising global temperatures. Instead, the administration says cutting coal plant pollution will cut asthma cases. There's a legal reason for that. The section of the Clean Air Act the administration is using aims to protect public health. Opponents say the White House is making an end run around Congress, which failed to pass a cap-and-trade global warming bill when Democrats controlled the House and Senate.
The five Taliban fighters released from Guantanamo Bay in exchange for American soldier Bo Bergdahl, who'd been held in Afghanistan for 5 years, are considered some of the most dangerous terrorists detained at Guantanamo. ABC News Chief White House Correspondent Jonathan Carl.
The administration says that steps have been taken to ensure that the freed Taliban prisoners don't return to the terrorist fight. But beyond the one-year travel ban imposed by the government of Qatar, the White House won't say what has been done to ensure that they won't again pose a threat to the United States.
Police investigating the disappearance of a British girl, Madeleine McCann, in Portugal 7 years ago have cordoned off an area of brush near where the child vanished from her family's vacation apartment shortly before Maddie's fourth birthday. ABC's Lama Hassan.
Police are reportedly expected to be in the area for days as they work to identify changes in the terrain, which would then require further investigation. As for Madeline's parents, well, they're not in Portugal at the moment, but they are being kept up to date with any new developments.
Best known as Alice the Maid on the Brady Bunch, actress Anne B. Davis died yesterday at the age of 88 after falling and hitting her head. This is ABC News.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage, $75 per month level rate for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110 per month, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rate guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, we have great rates available for you as well. At Termbusters, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. If you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call today for a quote at 1-800-569-5440. That's 1-800-569-5440. You're probably paying more than you should. Call Termbusters, 1-800-569-5440, or visit our website at termbusters.net. Remember, 1-800-569-5440. Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting. Exam required to qualify.
Washington, D.C., the country's most fit metro area? It tops the list, says ABC's Scott Goldberg.
America seems to have plenty of cities full of parks, people exercising, and healthy habits, but the healthiest place in the country? The capital. Washington, D.C. scored the highest on the American College of Sport Medicine's annual fitness index, ranking the 50 largest metro areas. The Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul slipped to second after 3 years on top. The survey uses 31 indicators measuring the health of people and the community. Number of parks, farmers markets, walkability, things like that. The least healthy big city? Memphis. Scott Goldberg, ABC News.
Park officials say it's too risky right now to send people to search for six climbers who likely fell thousands of feet to their deaths while attempting to scale the 14,000-foot Mount Rainier in Washington State. On Wall Street, the Dow is off. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
Safe Auto is always there to help you online or through their mobile app with the right car insurance at the right price wherever and whenever you need it. You need your car whenever you need your car. Life doesn't stop. Safe Auto gets it. Click, call, and enjoy the road ahead.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios, Ford Fusion helps you stay connected with available voice-activated sync technology. Get one now for only $1.99 a month. For details.
Oh, now she mutes the commercials.
I thought she wanted us to hear that.
Oh.
Is that Eric still on the phone?
Eric? From Warren?
Yeah, I'm here. Hey, Missy.
It was...
Hey, Missy, was that close to you when this happened at?
It's in East New York. That's a few train stops from where I'm at, yeah.
Wow.
Also, I wanted to tell you, going back to NAMBLA, you know there's a documentary.
Oh, yeah?
He has a documentary. It's called, I'm about to tell you right now. It's on YouTube. You can watch it for free if you're interested. It's called, damn it, it was excuse my language, it's called Chicken Something.
I'll try to watch it. I don't know how far I get into it.
You know what? I couldn't. Let me tell you. I watched it through listening to the show called Opie and Anthony. They were watching it, and they were commenting while they were watching it. And the bit that I saw was enough. This guy was so sick in the head. He always thought children were flirting with him. There's a scene where kids are, like, playing by the payphone, and they're playing on the payphone, and the phone is, like, calling a number back. And he just walks up to these children and have a conversation. It's really sick. And then you hear people in the town talk about him, how they ran him out of town. One boy was like how he made him feel uncomfortable. It's real serious. And he had a documentary, this man. And I'm like, how does something like this start? Something's up with this. How do you have a business called, you know, Man Boy Love Association? And you understand what I'm saying? It's legal to have this kind of business? Something's up with this.
Well, because freedom of speech comes into play.
You
love
it?
As long as they don't act.
Larry Graham! Y'all want to party some out? Come on, put it right here. We got some very special people in the house. So this is a very special evening. Not that we celebrate New Year's, we're celebrating life. Your life and mine. Because from this day on, all of us are going to take on a new name, you see. And to help us do that, we have from Sly and Family Stone, Jerry Martinez. And also from Sly and Family Stone, Cynthia Robinson. And along with myself, also from Sly and the Family Stone, when we made this song together, we made it about people like you. No, it wasn't about a car. It was about people that we love like you. So from tonight on, we're going to give y'all a new name if you don't mind. From here on out, you are every...
Back and you listen to Tracy and Friends here on WSOMA M600. The number is 347-945-5229. It's 8 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock here in Youngstown, Ohio. And I hope you're having a good day. Jeff finally made it through the room. And Sticks is here. Ben is here. He's going to exit out in a minute. And we're glad to have you with us. This is Larry Graham and Prince doing a Sly Stone song. Was Larry Graham a part of Sly?
Sly.
Sly and the Family Stone. Was Larry Graham a part of that?
No. No. He couldn't. No, I don't think so. We have to look that up.
They canceled Air Arsenio Hall, y'all.
Who didn't know that one?
My mama said they was going to cancel it.
I told you they were going to cancel it.
No.
He was terrible.
My mom didn't take it very well either, Tracy.
In the same furniture, in the same way that he left.
He lost his edge. He wasn't as quick.
He never was quick. That was the problem with Arsenio. He just happened to be the first really, famous.
But he was good.
In
the 80s, he was good.
His interviews were good. He got up close and personal.
He was good. We enjoyed it.
And
he was good. The show had a flavor to it, even if he was slow. In the 80s, the problem is he forgot to remember that he was off the air for almost 20 years. Local call, your mic is on.
Larry Graham, he's the part of the group that I'm talking to.
Jesus.
We got somebody posting in the chat room, Tracy. He said he was a bass player for Sly and the Family Stone.
Sly, thank you so much. So,
well,
he,
that
was
I mean,
so he was part of Sly and the Family Stone.
I didn't remember that at that moment for some reason.
Everybody that played for Sly sang.
Well, you had to.
So he was a part of the family. Stone.
I like when he brought his own stuff out.
Who, Larry?
Oh,
absolutely. Absolutely. But I'm just saying, I never realized that he was a part of. I'm watching this. It's Prince and Sly and Larry Graham doing this, you know, Everyday People. And I just didn't realize. I'm going, and Larry's talking. He's talking about when we did this. I'm going, I know Larry Graham was a part of the Family Stone. I mean, I knew Bootsy was a part of Funkadelic.
Oh, but the name is Bootsy.
But I didn't know Larry Graham, because remember when he did When We Get Married? Who was he a part of after that?
When We Get Married.
No, Jeff, Talk.
You said the song, so you don't, they don't know
Jeff,
who that
talk.
Song is.
So my question is, Larry Graham was with who? Graham Citizen
Scripture. That was his group.
Hey, I'm slow.
He was with himself.
Well, no, he wasn't with himself. He was with some
no,
other people.
No, he owned Graham Central Station.
But some other people was with him.
Of course. When you want. To play on his drum.
Ooh.
C-O-C-H-O-L-A-T-Chocolate.
Who are you talking about?
Larry Graham's group. If you knew Larry Graham, you knew the song when they went through all the people in the group, and they named them.
Jeff, I was only a kid.
I was only a kid.
Turn your mic down.
Start this
it's
craziness.
Only, I was only
you
a
only
kid.
Remember it from your older cousins, right?
That's pretty much it. I was
right.
Just hello, good morning. You're on the air. Local call.
Yeah, this is
Steve. Steve, you can't do.
I done told him. He don't listen. I'm not doing it. Good morning, Alabama. How are you?
What's up?
What's going on? Now, Minty called in
Amen.
First thing this morning. I hope you got better news than a Minty did. What, you got anything great to talk about? It's
well,
open
well,
mic.
Well, what happened with a Minty?
Man, they stabbed two kids in New York City and Brooklyn over last night. Who stabbed kids?
Oh, well, shoot. Montgomery per capita is one of the worst cities in the country. Like, I mean, we're getting like 65 murders a year. Like, it's just out of 250,000 people, that's pretty bad. So when you add it up, you know, we probably be double Chicago. So, I mean, we're pretty bad. They you know.
Can we go back to the good old days when Youngstown was the murder capital of the world?
No.
I mean, you got Youngstown. I'm feeling like it's Youngstown, Camden, New Orleans been dropped off because a lot of them got scattered out. But they I mean, it's just a certain brand of people that will kill people. I know a few guys that are killers that will kill you if you disrespect them in a basketball game or, you know, and it's been a few times I just say, you know what, I don't even want to play ball with this guy. I just don't even want them to take place. So there's people like that. I mean, I know a guy the other day I was talking to, he was just like, they was talking about this other guy, how good he is. He was an amateur boxer, and he beat this guy up and knocked him out cold, and the guy woke up, wanted to fight, but everybody had kind of left by then. And the guy was like, well, I'll fight him. And if he, I said, well, what if he beat you? He was like, well, he beat him. I'm going to the trunk. I'm like, that's just how it is, man. I mean, that's it. They read it. And you know, I asked him, I said, why do you want to sit in a jail cell for, you know, 15 years, you know, which is not that bad technically, but let's just say you do 15 years. Then, you know, he's like, I'll do it. You know, I'm like, he said, it's just a mentality you don't understand. Which I really don't understand.
Speaking of which, you know what I did yesterday? I was watching on Netflix. I pulled up Orange is the New Black.
What's that?
Yeah, what is that show about, Tracy?
My friend was asked to be on that show. She's an actor.
Did she say no?
She didn't take it. I don't know. I think she's...
It was it's a show. I didn't know what it was about. I know it is. I mean, you know, people were dressing up like these people on you know, Halloween. Remember the white girl that got in trouble because she dressed up like the black girl and painted her face, and everybody was upset because she did that last Halloween. We talked about it. Well, I watched it.
Yeah, I remember.
And I didn't know what it was about. And it's about a women's prison system.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little bit deep. It's a little bit risque. It celebrates all diversity of life, of heterosexual, homosexual, LGBT. And wait a minute. And it puts stresses on.
That ain't never Cell Block H. Cell Block H. That's all it is. Y'all remember Cell Block H used to come on back in the day?
And
I don't remember that.
And
Cell Block H with the women's prison? Y'all remember that?
I don't watch that kind of stuff. I'm just trying to catch up now. That's why I'm watching it.
I was a little boy. I don't think it was explicit. You know, a lot of shows now are just trying to make people think gay is, you know, okay. So I'm sure they're probably really stressing the gay relationship.
Are they stressing it? Baby, they're doing more than stressing it. They're taking it over the top. There's a guy in here who's transgendered, but he was married with a son. He's transgendered into a woman, and his wife is still staying with him. And she's asking him not to go all the way in the transition. Hold on, Alabama. She's asking him to go not to go all the way in changing, in the changing his whole gender. And he's in prison for what I think it's for credit card fraud or something. And he's in this prison, and he's making sure that he keeps his steroids, estrogen, so that he can continue to stay a woman. He's the hairdresser of the prison. He does everybody's hair. And his wife, who married him as a man, comes to visit him.
For conjugal visits.
No.
You
do know that that is an actual transgender person who plays that part.
I would not be surprised. That ain't the point.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised by that.
Real transgender person.
Interesting.
Wow.
I'm so confused right now.
I can't follow anymore. I can't keep up.
That's it. I don't know. I don't want to follow it.
And it comes on Netflix, and you know Netflix has this whole new series, and these series are actually geared toward our younger people because they are the
checks out.
They're not watching television. They're watching their phones and their tablets and their computers. They're not watching TV like we watch it. Everything is interconnected now.
You know what we need? You remember that show House?
Yes.
The doctor?
Yes.
We need a show like that, but only he'd be a political person. Tell him the truth.
Yeah. I love House. That's what we need. I love House.
That is what this country
needs.
If
you were sick because you ate too much, House would just tell you, you need to lose weight, lay off the soda, lay off the cookies, whatever.
You're fat. You need to lose weight and
right.
Go away.
See, we need a
We need Archie Bunker.
We need a president like that.
We need an Archie Bunker.
I don't know, because he was racist.
Archie Bunker was not racist.
Yeah, he was.
No, he wasn't. He was
In the show, he was.
No, he wasn't. He was honest.
Well, he's an honest racist.
I mean, you could.
Was he an honest racist?
Was George Jefferson racist?
No.
Yes.
No, he was honest.
He was an honest racist, too.
They weren't racist. They were
George Jefferson. George Jefferson was prejudiced.
George Jefferson's character, you have to say, has some bigoted tendencies.
Yes. But it was funny.
Well,
no.
Because he said hunky?
Yes, that was funny.
But the thing is, you couldn't get away with that today. I mean, it was cutting-edge humor, and it would be cutting-edge humor today, but they would pull it so fast you'd never get it on.
Well, I mean, pull it. It ain't no pull it.
It
wouldn't be on.
It would never make
the air.
You know what?
Not
I'm
going
to tell you something.
TV.
One of the best roles I ever saw in a sitcom was James on Good Time, the dad. Strong, father leading his home, and even though he was poor, I love that. I hate they killed him off because they said they weren't ready for him. But he was
one of the greatest roles ever. Alabama, they pulled him off. They say they pulled him off because he and Esther Roll, they got tired of Norman Lear trying to tell them about black people. And so they had these white writers, and they would not allow any black writers to be sitting at those tables. And they would come back with these scripts, and they would not allow them to have any creative input. And that's when they started backing off of it. Because after a while, it became too out of character for African Americans.
It became
Look at the movie Hollywood Shuffle talked about that.
Go ahead, Minty.
No, the friend I was telling you about when she's like maybe 24 now, and I spoke with her about taking different roles that she was offered, and she said
you know, one thing that bothers her is that a black woman won't have a leading role in a movie or on a show. And I'm like, well, I don't think that should stop you from still taking the opportunity of being on, you know, any type of show you can be on, you know. But that's what she said. She said she just feels like a black woman will never have a leading role in on a show.
But that's good, because I think it's going to come a time where blacks are going to have to, when the internet takes over,
Alabama,
blacks are going to have to create their own shows, their own media, because it's getting to the point, just like with the guy with the Arby's. I got in a big argument about the guy with the right on the Arby's. I was like, okay, fine. Well,
listen,
excuse me.
I want to pull 440. And good morning, 440. How are you?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm
How
doing
was your
well
weekend?
Today. It was good.
Good. I'm gonna go off subject a little bit.
Okay, go ahead.
You remember last week? Remember when last week when you had the doctor? I think it was last week about bedside manner. I seen my doctor this morning. I told her she had a great walk. She pretended that she was insulted, but she laughed. But she got back at me with the prostate check. So, yeah.
You know what? You have issues. I'm looking forward to meeting you. You have major issues.
I got a question to ask you also. Did you finish watching House of Cards?
Yes, I did.
It was. Did you like it? It got worse, didn't it? I told you it was
yes,
going to get worse.
Yes, it did. And I'm looking for the next season to come out. But my question,
can you believe how he pushed that girl out in front of that rapid transit?
What are you talking about? He didn't push the girl. Ask him. He'll tell you he didn't. He wasn't even there. What are you talking about?
I was like, damn.
I did not have a sexual relationship with that woman, Miss Lewinsky.
I wonder
if they'll cause his House of Cards to come tumbling down, or would they just
end
the show with just resigning or something? I don't.
You have to understand, Diva. I don't know how they're going to take this, but if you look at the writing of this, it's really really intense. And so you never know where it's going to go and how it's going to spin, because at one time your major characters never left your television program. And today you will find them, they will get killed. I mean, if you watch...
Except on the soap opera.
Well, they don't even watch those anymore. They're all off.
Yeah.
Soap operas are gone.
But they
come back to life.
They would come back in a dream sequence.
But you have to... they do come back in dream sequences. Don't get me wrong. But if you look at Good Wife, who would have ever thought Will would just die? And you can see him getting written out because Will, you know, it was Lockhart Gardner. He was a name. He was actually a named entity. And the question is, how do you? They're turning this. I mean, they just don't. They write differently now. They write to where you can take the lead character off, and the show can keep on going. Look at Law and Order. Law and Order has been on forever.
Two men.
And they still don't have the people have died off of there, and they still keep on going.
Charlie Sheen's off of what? Two men.
Men. What's the name of the show?
Two and a half men. There we go. Good.
And it still lasts. Mm-hmm. At one time, you could not take the lead character off of a television show and it still survive.
Tracy.
Well, let me. You know what? I have a good idea for a show. Instead of all this ratchet stuff we show on TV, sometimes I think it would be good to have, like, you follow businessmen, young black men or young businessmen trying to get, you know, something that, you know, they're really enterprising. They're trying to do something to try to, I think
people
that's a great idea.
You got
I would
Alabama.
Love it.
Alabama. The problem is, I mean, if you look at now Shark Tank, Shark Tank has a great following. They come on like 9 times a night now.
Exactly.
There's
a market for people that want to see follow people that are in business. There is. I think so.
Tracy. Hi, South Carolina. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you this morning?
I'm doing pretty good. But got a little hot over the weekend. I came across something. I don't know if you saw it. I had it on my Facebook page. But were you aware that there is a teacher in Michigan that has been suspended because he has taught about
the blackface,
Al Jolson, and and those folks dressing up in blackface. And
he got suspended because he taught it?
Because he taught about it. He got suspended because he exposed the racist acts of actors in Hollywood back in the early 20s and in the 30s, and they suspended him.
Who suspended him?
The school district. It was racist.
The vice president said vice principal made him stop playing the tape, pulled him out of class, and said him showing that is racist in itself, and advocated for his suspension, which I'm just flabbergasted. I'm just floored. I'm like,
well, happened here too.
What?
It, right over in Mohawk school district.
Hold on, Diva. What'd you say there?
Right over in Mohawk school district, there was a teacher that would come in school in character, and he came as a slave owner.
Bad idea.
Yeah, and he actually, set up a slave auction in class.
And depicting what happened to make
happened.
It right.
Yeah.
So wait a minute. We can do Confederate reenactments.
Mm-hmm.
We can do historical reenactments and Martin Luther King but you can't do slave reenactments. Is that what I'm hearing?
Right. No, there was nobody that was of color in that class.
So what do you do? I mean,
if you
go to Canfield schools and there's no black kid in the class, when they do the pictorial of American greats, there's a Martin Luther King and Muhammad Ali, and I've seen white kids do it.
Mm-hmm.
What are they supposed to do? Not
hey,
mention
Tracy.
It? Yeah.
Hey, Tracy.
Yeah.
There was a story also about a school down in Texas where the teacher made all the white kids sit outside the class for the whole class to know what it feels like for Jim Crow.
What?
Yeah.
There's something wrong with this. How are you supposed to know your history if you don't teach it?
How are you going to teach
a
white student what slavery's like without
and making a mask
selling
like
them and let them, be a slave for
and
a day?
Al Jolson, I mean, didn't he do Mammy?
He did quite a few things, yeah.
I mean, isn't that a part of American history?
Oh, yeah, it is.
Whether
it
you
sure
like it or
is.
Not.
It sure it shows you how segregated and how racist Hollywood was when it started.
So he was not supposed to teach about this?
Nope, Mayor Sandy can't.
I'll be right back.
Boardman Frame House Gallery.
There was a black director in Hollywood. This black woman is actually working on a documentary on it. His name was Oscar Meech. A lot of people don't know about him, and I'm waiting for her to complete the documentary. I'm definitely looking forward to watching that. And this is a black man who owned his own land. He married a black woman. He did his thing out here. He first started as like a porter on a train to get his money up, and he ended up working for Hollywood and doing a few movies, and he even played in some of them. Oscar Meech, you never know. Maybe that's where the Oscar, the name for the award comes from.
Oh, it just seems rather crazy to me not to be able to teach about people in blackface and things such as that. I mean, it's a part of American culture. So
And those are things that are truly offensive, and they should be taught.
When do we march and picket? Blackface wasn't offensive. That was just the way it still goes on in France today. When do we march and picket? And say, we fed up, ain't going to take it no more.
Well, what irritates me the most is that, like, out here, you know, New York City, you hear so much about immigrants. My daughter's always talking to me about China, China, China. And it's like, they just completely don't even talk about black history unless they talk about some, Malcolm X or some Martin Luther King. And, come on now.
George Washington Carver, the usual suspects.
Yeah, but they have to learn about immigrants, because this, New York City is full of them.
Yeah, you call them suspects. Nah, that's good. Well, when are we going to march and pick about this teacher losing their job?
She's marching nowhere.
Well, hey, Bianchi, I spent a little time in Japan, and you may or may not be surprised at how they depict black people in advertising. Big lips, you know, big old coon-looking eyes, and big nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Right in the stores. I mean, you know.
My drama teacher, when I was in 11th and 12th grade, that was part of the curriculum, was to teach on the history of acting and cinematry, and part of it, his curriculum was showing how white people played African American parts in blackface.
They whitewash Asians too.
I think they're just going
too far. No. I mean, to say that him teaching on it is racism in itself, it goes to show that people need to be taught on racism to begin with. They need to be taught and they need to learn, be educated on what exactly racism is, because someone teaching on racism does not make them a racist.
Well, then you need to watch Birth of a Nation. That would be very, very interesting.
That, you got to see that. You can watch it on Netflix. It's on Netflix, just so you know. Birth of a Nation.
I read up on it. I'm not into silent flicks. I read up on it. We didn't really watch Birth of a Nation, but we got the clip notes from Birth of a Nation in class, and no, thank you.
Well, I mean, that's the first motion picture ever played in the White House, and it was presented by Woodrow Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
So?
Yep.
Well, that still don't make me interested in it.
Oh, no, no, I'm just saying. I found it very interesting. Woodrow Wilson was from South Cackalack.
But a lot of the presidents were bigots and racist. I mean, that doesn't shock me.
Hmm.
Some of the founding fathers were bigots. I mean, James Madison said he didn't believe in slavery, but he felt that the Negro man could not exist along with white society, and they should all be sent back to Africa. He said they should not be allowed to coexist with white America. So
they'll never go back to Africa. You know what happened? It was a play on that. Like, if we all went back to Africa. I wish I knew.
Can you imagine? Could you imagine the Real Housewives of Atlanta going back to Africa? It wouldn't be anywhere.
Can you imagine all of us really going back to Africa? Okay, yeah. They don't want us to go back to Africa. Order.
Yeah, I like to see Needy in Atlanta, in Africa. Spoiled as she is.
I've seen some black women at a flea market yesterday. I sure can imagine them going to Africa.
James Madison thought that there should be a reparations program. The federal government should pay to ship every freed slave back to Africa because they shouldn't be allowed to commingle with whites.
Well, you need to read the history of Liberia. Liberia was set up for that. Yeah, but my question is, what in the heck is going on with them training Berdahl for 5 Taliban chiefs?
I'm on a fence because I can't say as an ex-military wife who suffered through watching her ex-husband, my husband at the time, going through Iraq war, my father being in Afghanistan, going to Iraq.
Yep.
I can't sit here and say that I wouldn't want them to trade 5 nobodies in Guantanamo Bay for my loved ones.
It's not five nobodies, but then, on the other hand,
South Carolina, when it's your family member, nobody else matters. Everybody's a nobody.
Well,
on the flip side, when
you're in the military, you know that that's going to happen. You know that's going to happen. I fully understood if I was captured. Yes, every effort would be made to try and free me, but it may not be possible because I do know that the United States does not negotiate with terrorists up until this point.
That's again, South Carolina, you're looking at it from someone who has been in the military. A civilian is not in the military. They don't really have the experience and training that you have. So they're looking at it from, I want my loved one back. I agree with you. We have not been in the business of negotiating with terrorists, but I'm on the fence. I can't say one way or the other because I've been on both sides.
I'm like this. Yeah, I'm very suspicious of what's going on with that soldier in Afghanistan.
Yeah, oh yeah.
His father speaks fluent Arabic, by the way. You know that?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on the WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Had to play that clip for Sticks. I didn't know if he remembered it.
Oh, yeah.
And Jeff said something as we were going to break, and we were talking about the children of communists, and I brought up Hitler's children, and it went into German. I thought it was going to be translated into English, and I'm sorry. I'm very concerned by the lax attitude of American people as we are moving very, very fast into a world that you won't be able to see or recognize, should I say, and you're not paying attention to it. Can you say Hitler's children?
Hitler's children.
Yeah, well, Hitler youth.
You know, it's so deep what Hitler was doing because, you know, he wasn't just into a certain kind of government.
I don't think people realize all the radios sold in Germany only had one station under the rule of Adolf Hitler. I don't think Americans can fully grasp how this totalitarianism can happen and how people can be taken in and under, especially when you start having to worry about starving to death. That's how he came to power, was the economy went to crap.
And he was able to climb up. He was into a lot of different things, and you have to understand, he was into mysticism on a huge level, which, of course, we all debunk as being fables and things like that. But Hitler was on to something. And as a result, you know, you're seeing the aftermath of that in our country because they're here. You know, we took in at least 60 to 70% of their scientists and their educators and this, that, and the other. We took many of the Nazis in and hid them here and in South America in exchange for information.
Operation Paperclip.
There you go. And see, so, you know, so you
Operation Paperclip.
Yes.
Yeah.
Werner von Braun. All of those scientists, all the people that developed the atomic bomb for us and the space program, the vast majority of them were Nazis that we brought over here after the war.
They were very, very technological people. They were very, very technological.
So today, here we are in 2014, and we are in a very technological age. You see where the progression has gone. You see I hate that Derek left already. I'm sorry, Ben left. Well, you know, I'm confused today.
You outed him like Valerie Plame.
I am very, very concerned because no one's paying attention to our young people, and they are being indoctrinated. I mean, I think Sticks, was it you that said that they got them in their daycare center?
Absolutely.
So the women went to work so they could get them in the daycare center early so they could indoctrinate them?
The first tenet of communism and National Socialism is to destroy the family. You've got to get children away from their families as soon as possible. Even Woodrow Wilson said the purpose of education is to make a man as unlike his father as possible. The progressives, the communists, the socialists, they're all in a similar symbiotic relationship, and they all have the same thing in mind, and it's total control. and you have got to destroy faith, and you have got to destroy family in order to get people to succumb to total control.
But look at what's going on in our – why? Okay, we know that this is history. Are we just as Americans? I'm not going to talk about anybody else because when I was with John Houston on last Thursday,
mm-hmm.
and when he said that America makes up, was it 14% or
four point some odd percent
of the total global population, and that we have the most advanced quality of life than any other group of people
mm-hmm.
in the world.
Right.
And so we're very, very blessed to be a part of that 4%. Because, you know, our poor have luxuries.
Yes.
Absolutely. Our poor are the richest poor in the world.
And our children don't appreciate anything. And we're sitting back on our laurels giving it away.
Mm-hmm.
Giving it away and taking away our freedoms every day. And
Look at what the Congress is allowing them to do through these alphabet super federal agencies. The EPA just made it, if you have a spot in your backyard that lays wet 2 weeks a year, the EPA can come in, deem that a wetland, and they can seize your property, make it totally unusable to you.
Absolutely, and that's the stuff. He just did that last week, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was last week.
Last week.
Now, this week's we're going to make plant food a toxin. Carbon dioxide is now a pollutant.
Yeah, well, they did that 3 years ago.
Yeah, but they put it on steroids again.
Okay,
just this week.
Let me hold on just a second. I'm going to throw this into the gap. Look at the quality of people in America today. And yesterday I was walking my dog, and I have dog scoopers, and they're plastic. To pick up the dog poop.
Right.
But they're not biodegradable. And no one says anything. But when I go to the grocery store, they don't want me to have a plastic bag. What'd you say, Eric?
So every time you exhale, you're putting a pollutant in the air?
That's right. That's right. It's about 3 years ago, the Supreme Court ruled that the EPA could consider carbon dioxide a pollutant and regulate it under the Clean Air Act.
Which means, let me clarify that to you. Do you realize who breathes a lot of that out?
Pigs, horses, dogs.
People!
I thought you were giving me a trick question.
No, it's not a trick question, but
they're gonna start taxing my breath?
If they want to, they can. Understand, this is what's going on, and this is why people are upset.
Of a cap-and-trade system, electricity rates would necessarily skyrocket.
You know, they tell me electricity rates are going to go up again.
Yeah, well, that's because they cut the CO2 30% again.
30%.
Why would he do that? We're in a recession. We haven't really made it out of the recession that we're in.
Hey, Tracy?
Yes, Al?
It's like this. You have to tear it down before you can build it up.
Yeah, they should have had Darth Vader's theme song playing in the background when he said that.
See, everybody's going to look at us like, oh, you just a bunch of right wing this, that. No, look at what's getting ready to happen to you.
And the rest of the world's building coal-fired power plants. Germany's already seen the fallacy of this.
Okay.
They're dumping these windmills and wind turbines. They've just commissioned six new coal-fired power plants in Germany.
We make up 4.7% of the world. China's getting ready to let everybody make more than one baby. And
plenty of room in the United States.
Yeah, because I got some land on some wetlands out on some good.
Did you hear what I said?
Yeah, I saw that. I heard
China's letting that happen because there's plenty of room in the United States.
And they're going to own a piece of it. Yeah.
You've already got people saying, well, we don't have to worry about our national debt. We can always sell our national parks to China.
The Washington Monument's going to be named Xinjiang Shu.
mean, there's a lot of truth to that. Remember the China commercial a while back?
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that, Six. That was pretty scary, man.
You got to tell us what it is.
Okay, it was a... I'll look it up on YouTube and see.
Yeah, Super Bowl commercial. I know exactly
what you're talking
about.
Economics to a bunch of Chinese students.
Let's see if we can pull it up and then we can play it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, we're asleep at the wheel, and this sleep that we're in, this zombie sleep.
This is the one right here.
Who?
Yeah,
this
is
where they should go into the White House and arrest. I'm getting ready to tell you. They should arrest the president, Susan Rice. And everybody.
Why
from the,
Susan Rice? She was just a.
Arrest the president, Susan Rice, and all of these ones that made this swap over this.
Why?
Walked away from his unit.
Jeff, why Susan Rice?
Because she's part of this cabal. She created the system, talking about we couldn't wait. We had to go in there and get him out now because his health is in danger. And he speaks Arabic.
Ooh.
Better than the Arabic people that was holding.
Who?
Bergdahl, the guy that supposedly was taken hostage by.
You got to tell me what we're talking about. I'm not talking about Benghazi.
Not Benghazi. Benghazi's got his own legs going on.
Well, tell us what is it?
This is Bergdahl over in Iraq.
That's the guy. That's a young man.
He was on post in Iraq. And I believe it was Iraq. I don't know if that or Afghanistan. I apologize. But as it moved on, he walked away from his post.
He was a prisoner of war.
Prisoner of war. But he didn't. He said that now that he's released and they wiped this out real quick, that there'll be retribution for all the dead Afghanistanian children. That's what he says. Now they go ahead and hurry this up, fast track this. Don't go by Congress. Congress is supposed to get 30 days. Before any type of situation is made, and they made this an emergency. But you got a man that drove down a wrong street down, going into Mexico, and he's still in prison. You can't get him out.
Hey, Jeff. Hey,
you
Jeff.
Can't get him out. He's
Where'd
a military.
Where'd you say, South Carolina?
Hey, it's Eric.
Oh, hi, Eric. Go ahead.
What do you think about the father having a Taliban-looking beard and speaking fluent Arabic?
Thank you.
To the father.
The father. And he asked the question, is he going to be, can he speak English anymore?
Because this morning they said they were very, very surprised. Because you just jumped into that. When you watched television, you jumped into it.
It was in my craw.
I know, but we don't know. I don't know what the heck you, I thought you were talking about Benghazi.
All of this stuff goes together that this administration should be arrested immediately. But they fired all the people that would have arrested them. And so, therefore, you don't have anybody in position to uphold the Constitution of the United States at this particular moment. No one out there is capable of doing it because they got rid of all the old generals and colonels and all the other ones that love the United States and love the Constitution. And they replaced them with these
the American people, and going back to what I said about America being asleep, America is numb. Eric brings in they're sitting down teachers who are teaching history. You don't have any conversation about advancement and thinking on your own. You're shutting down coal power plants so that your electricity will rise. They're talking about increasing minimum wage when there's no more wages to pay. I mean, all this is like this one little big, this little jigsaw puzzle, and all these pieces are scattered all over the board, and they're coming together slowly, and right now they're just putting together the frame. Listen, I'm saying, and they're putting together the frame, and they're putting these things in, and America is, and the people of America are sitting on the sidelines not paying attention to this puzzle being put together, and that they're in it, but they don't know how to navigate it for their own good. Because I think you guys said it. It's not about this generation. It's about the next.
Right. Well, they're going to collapse it. They're going to collapse the entire system upon itself.
And
it's by design.
And what I'm saying is you've got too many people becoming liquid.
I pulled up this ad. Unfortunately, it's in Chinese with subtitles.
Yeah, we can read it.
We can speak Chinese.
Well, that's how the commercial is.
Hey, Tracy.
Yeah.
What
you got? You know, you ever heard of the saying, "Could the victor go the spoils"?
Yes.
Okay. The Taliban, their head leadership has claimed the victory in this. Okay. And what's going to happen now? No one knows, folks. Every American in every foreign country that's going to be possibly exposed to these guys, what's it going to take next? I mean, how many more Americans are going to capture?
I would be leaving.
And
who
are
they on my way home?
Hold
on, Eric.
On my way home.
But listen, I was listening this morning, and they said there are hundreds of prisoners of war out there right now.
We've got a United States Marine sitting in prison in Mexico because they wouldn't let him turn around at the border.
Right.
And Kerry was down there in meetings with the president of Mexico. Now why ain't this guy home?
That's my question. Why don't we know about it? I mean,
we're waiting until the 6th now of this.
He's been
month.
There. He's been there like 60 days already.
Yeah.
Alabama, your mic is on.
Yeah, I will say, that new Marine, the Marine that they traded out for, he's talking real greasy about America, right? But
yeah.
And I kind of understand how people in the military especially feel like he's a traitor, he's a sellout, and I can understand that. But at the same time, if you sit, because he's probably got Stockholm Syndrome, but you got to also look at a lot of these people in these foreign countries. Are looking at it like America's a bully, they're an invader, they got all these bases, they're inserting their will in our country through proxy by these different organizations and doing different things, AFRICOM, different things. So I think we have to be objective and not just take a side because, okay, well, we know the Americans. Because we don't know all what the CIA has done. And we don't know all that they've done to make enemies. And we've made a lot of enemies over the years because we've done a lot of dirt. And I'm sorry. I mean, I just feel like sometimes probably what saved his life was the fact that he was able to sit there and sympathize with these guys and say, yeah, we shouldn't be doing this. We shouldn't. I'm just over here trying to make a check.
Well,
I'm just a soldier. That's how he looked at it.
But that's,
I would have said the same thing.
But the thing is, Alabama, they're not sure yet that he just plain didn't desert. Because he walked out. He walked out under his own. He was not captured in battle.
No.
He walked off the base under his own compulsion. That's the thing. If he was captured in battle, that's a whole different ball of wax.
Well, here let's say what they said this morning. I don't know whether it's true or not, but that he was on patrol with a set of guys, and he started lagging behind. And got captured by the enemy.
I hadn't heard that.
That's what I heard this
what
morning.
I heard,
that doesn't mean it's
what
true.
I heard they had videotaped
they,
him just walking
they got
off.
Video, they've got video of him going off the base.
Well, I believe it. And that's why I'm saying in this particular case, you're watching this fast action take place where all they're doing is they're releasing.
But did they make a trade for him?
Yes.
What did they trade?
Five top Talibans.
The top that we had in captivity.
Wait a minute.
In
whoa, stop. Slow down. We need to slow down. 5 minutes to 11.
Mm.
They traded what?
Five of the top
out of
Taliban commanders that we were holding in Guantanamo Bay.
And they traded them out.
For him.
For one guy.
For one guy.
Yep.
And Congress?
Was not informed because they said they did not have the time to inform Congress.
They had to get him out
hold
right
on.
Away
whoa,
because
whoa,
of his...
Wait a minute,
right
slow down,
right
Jeff.
After we admit, right after,
hold on,
right after
hold
we
on,
admit,
hold
we're
on.
Shrink the...
Hold on, wait a minute, hold on. I just got to... I'm a little slow. So we're going to trade for one guy. Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to trade one guy
mm-hmm.
for how many top five?
The five worst.
Minute, oh, no, five.
Yeah, five.
But we're going to let... What's his name? Stevens die?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we're joining
there's a fly in this buttermilk. I don't know if you guys see it.
Hey, Sticks.
But
hey, what's up, Yankee?
Something wrong with this story.
Yeah. Well,
but Tracy.
That
Is that the Taliban that the Is that the Taliban that the U.S. helped create?
Oh yeah, always.
Yeah.
Yeah, you
and
know
wasn't
that.
Wasn't that Stevens selling weapons to the rebels to overthrow Syria?
We think so.
We think so, but they won't admit it.
That's why he's dead. They had to. They had to kill all witnesses.
Dead men tell no tales.
You know, the United States as a people get used all the time in arrangements like this, these wars that go on, these proxy wars, and these wars which permit corporate incursions into other foreign markets. And we don't care anything about it. Maybe we don't know anything about it, or maybe because of the propaganda. You know, U.S. news have propaganda, too, which persuade people in one way or the other.
I didn't realize it, but I saw Guantanamo Bay. I saw the guy was getting released, and everything in between I missed. I didn't realize that they traded this young man.
Yeah, they traded him supposedly for the. It's not just five of them.
It was a top five. Top five.
The top worst.
Why would
five.
He do that? Got to take a break. I just want to know why would he do that. I mean, seriously, and why are we, and where is our journalism department? Because this morning, when I watched the news, I did.
They're doing their jobs, Tracy, according to Hillary Clinton. She says they're too tough.
NBC did some hard questions to Jay Carney this morning before they dropped it and then went to, well, you're stepping down. We're going to miss you.
That's what I'm saying. I caught that part. But they really did not, what in the world, and why are we asleep at the wheel?
Well, why come Kerry calls Snowden a traitor? Snowden
no, that's
said
the, that
he took an oath.
Because he gave away their plan.
Hold on, Pionki. I got to
no
take a break. I got to take a break, and I don't want to start a good discussion going into a break because I want to come back to it. If you went outside and asked the majority of people who got released,
they have no idea.
Why are we in this technological age? Why are we keeping everybody quiet and keeping them asleep? If you look at all the newspapers and TV, local television.
What's the quickest way to control people? Keep them medicated. Keep them distracted. Sports,
yeah,
they
sports
don't
talk
and
about
drugs.
Local TV.
Hey, Jesse Jackson got a
soldier
release.
Soldier?
No, that was years ago, and that was in the skirmish, and it was to Iraq's advantage to release that soldier, and that's nothing. They probably kept alive 200,000 people by releasing that one soldier. He was a black pilot. Jesse went over to Iran or Iraq and got way back in the
90s. He basically said, look, if you don't let this guy go, it ain't going to end well for you, period.
I'm taking a break. I'll be right back.
Yeah, we'll talk about this after the break. This is crazy. If you guys do a quick search of the internet, you will not find the names of those guys that were released as a trade for this guy, Berdahl. Nowhere on the internet. I'm having a hard time finding.
Radio in that background last night on NPR.
Yeah, these people nowadays, they just know that there's no point for them. There's so much information you can find on your own. They just realize that all they can do is push the agenda that they're being paid to push.
Maybe the CIA made robots of them.
Actually, South Carolina ABC News is reporting their names, just so you know.
Okay.
Muhammad Fazo, Muhammad Nabi.
Some of them had worked with the CIA in the past.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how to pronounce these names, but they have the names of who they are.
You know that, South Carolina? Some of them have worked with the CIA in the past.
I don't know that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Most definitely. The only problem that we're having because of this Taliban, look, here's the thing. You have a type of country. I mean, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iraq, they're all Muslim countries. Who are we to go over there and tell them they have to stop practicing how they stop practicing? Yes, there are human atrocities there, but there are human atrocities everywhere. So why just the Middle East do we feel like we need to spread democracy? That's why you have these groups coming up saying down with America. They don't just hate us just to hate us. They hate us because we feel that we have
a right to go
there.
Diva, let me ask you one question, Diva. Is heroin taking off in Youngstown?
I'm sorry?
Has there been a rebirth of heroin, like it is in Alabama? And heroin had died down. Crack was the number one drug. But ever since we went in Afghanistan, heroin has flooded the streets. And why is that? Because the government, we want the heroin market. That's what we want.
They got miles and miles of poppy fields in Afghanistan. I mean, miles
of
poppy fields.
Look at the timing of when we attacked.
I know a lot of young boys, young guys who made a big come up around 2005 off of heroin. They were struggling trying to sell crack cocaine.
But
I'll have to say, heroin was a big, it was always been a problem in Youngstown, but there's been a huge market for the sale of that.
And heroin addicts are a little bit different than a junkie, the normal junkie. This heroin addicts are a little bit more violent.
But the thing about heroin is the people who buy heroin versus the people who buy crack. Because the people who are buying the heroin weren't your everyday run-of-the-mill, low-down junkie running around the inner city of Youngstown. You had people coming from the suburbs making that business.
Yeah, but what about the pill poppers? Like, that's real big now. That's really where the real money is at. You can get $20 a pill with that stuff.
I'm saying that the government is in on the drug. They've been on the drug game for years, and this is just another chapter. Afghanistan is the only reason we held Afghanistan. Bin Laden's been got. They don't care. They're not even talking about it. They want to stay over there and control that popular troops that have admitted that they came out and loaded big pallets of this stuff on to see what B-52s or whatever. So I have no trust in
because the country of Afghanistan was controlled by drug lords. Even the president himself was a drug addict.
They have poppy fields in Afghanistan that are bigger than some small states here in the country over here.
Ritalin and all that behavior medicine that children have to take and all that. This synthetic heroin and crack inside of those pills. And I heard a doctor years ago, she was talking about it because she was concerned about it. And she said it's synthetic heroin and crack inside of those medications for those children.
No, it's an amphetamine. It's an amphetamine and it has a different effect. That's what's inside of Ritalin.
Most of them are a controlled drug. Cause my daughter is on Focalin. It's classed as a controlled drug, but you say that there's a synthetic narcotic in it. Yeah. I didn't see the information on that when I researched that.
But I think somebody in the American military has got a control of the poppy fields in Afghanistan, and that's the reason why you're seeing an influx of heroin on the East Coast.
But you have to look at the heroin
coming from Mexico, man.
Why the Taliban exists, why those factions exist. They exist because we go in there for whatever reason. We claim we're trying to spread democracy, but who are we to try to spread democracy?
Have you seen in the news where this lady in Sudan, she committed to Christianity and they're going to kill her? Come on now, let's be realistic about this thing.
Yeah.
Okay,
they don't like you because they don't like you.
That's the way the Muslims are. They want to convert everyone.
Yeah.
They don't want you. They're not tolerant of other religions.
It's still we go.
That's why they don't mind selling heroin.
That,
you know, that's why they sell heroin to us. Because we're infidels.
Those countries are governed.
Right.
Those countries are governed by the Quran. You got to understand. They don't have the freedom that we have in America, and it's not for us to say, well, we're going to establish freedom there. They just don't have it. It that is my heart. But still, it's not on us to go over there and say, well, we're going to spread democracy and make them another mini America or whatever. That's not fit. That's not right. So, yes, does it break my heart that a woman got threatened to get killed because she converted to Christianity? Yes. But the fact remains, she is in a Muslim country that is basically ruled and run by a religious system. Would you like
you liberals do some crazy things to me. I mean, you can flip flop on stuff just that quick.
How am I flip flopping on anything?
I mean, it's like you want women's rights, but if a woman converts to Christianity, they're going to kill her. Oh, that's okay. That's their country.
When have I ever espoused women's rights across the world?
There's nothing you can do.
Think about what you're saying. If it's going on in another country, there's nothing we can do because that's their country. But if they come here, then we can fight the war.
If you leave them alone, Diva, that doesn't mean anything. As long as you claim that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, they hate you, and they want you dead.
Yeah.
Period.
That's what's happening in Egypt. They're trying
to
drive the Christians out.
If you go over to their
they drove
country,
the Jews out of Egypt. Now they're trying to get the Christians
here
to go.
I mean, they're not trying to invade here. Imagine if they tried to invade us and try to get us to convert.
Diva, it's called terrorism. Quit being naive, girl.
Okay.
Look at it on the other side.
What are we doing? That's called terrorism, too, then.
Yeah, but
so we're
who are you to go to someone else's country and try to convert them to something else when they already have...
But it's written in their Quran that
it's their duty
to make the whole world Muslim.
Well, it's the same thing in the Bible, too, isn't it?
It's the caliphate. That's what they call the caliphate.
Yes, it is.
It is
in the Bible, but we don't do it through force. We don't do it through force. It is in the Bible to go into the nations and make disciples of men. That is our mantra.
The military was taking U.S. taking Bibles and spreading them all out through Iraq until the commander was made to burn them all.
But Christianity went through a period called the Inquisition, where they tortured people if they didn't want to follow the precepts of the Catholic Church.
About 900 people, though. There was only 900 people.
The Quran went to the Caliphate, which is worldwide Sharia law.
Yeah. They believe that if they have the Caliphate, that'll bring back their Messiah. That'll bring back the Mahdi.
Some parts of Sharia law is good. No interest on loans and mortgages. Heck, I like that any day. Sound like a barrel of monkeys having fun.
Here on WSLM AM 600, the number 347-945-5229. And Jeff and Sticks are here in studio with me, and I've got you on the line. It is open mic today, and talking about the swap with Guantanamo Bay. What is this guy's? Pronounce his last name, somebody.
Bergdahl. Yeah, Bergdahl.
Yeah. They swapped him for 5 Gitmo detainees.
By a very special Gitmo detainee. It's not just...
I don't understand. Whose health were we concerned with?
Bergdahl.
Well, this is political. A lot of this is political, too, because you can't... They can't pull all the troops out of Afghanistan, just leave that guy there. So they got to get him back before they pull out. And the president keeps throwing out these arbitrary numbers of when he's going to have everybody out of Afghanistan. When it's the generals that need to be deciding that.
But the people, okay, okay. You've got to get him out before you leave.
Right.
But he's not the only one there.
Yeah, he is.
No, there are others. There are journalists. There are other people there.
In where?
But he's the only U.S. military soldier.
And he was worth 5 Gitmo detainees? I don't. What did you say, Pionki? Go ahead, because you said you wanted to go somewhere.
I was listening to Kerry denigrate Snowden's, making mention that he took an oath and so forth. But, you know, no oath, contract, agreement, or pledge should compel anyone pertaining to a government agency or job position or office to violate the Constitution protections of any United States citizen. And that's exactly what Mr. Snowden done. What kind of oath are they taking other than the oath to protect and uphold the United States Constitution? That's what I don't know.
They take the same oath as I do when I take office. I swear to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America and the Constitution of Ohio.
But I
what
think
oath
the problem
is Snowden that Kerry's talking about.
Philadelphia.
Hold on.
Because he's good at it.
But wait a minute. That's the same argument that they used at Nuremberg, and it didn't work at Nuremberg.
What?
I was just following orders.
Yeah, the problem with Snowden is that he exposed these data mining programs that the NSA was attempting to develop, and he put this over the web, and they didn't want these things exposed.
That wasn't the problem. We all knew that they were data mining. We didn't know to what extent that they were mining the data. We knew
right,
they were doing.
But we didn't know to what extent. But basically, they had these different types of metadata programs that the public
didn't
know about.
The
public didn't know that the government was taking all of the phone records and was storing all of this data and all of these telephone numbers. This is something the public did not know.
Did you know this morning? Did you see the news this morning of what else he had also released this morning? Okay, we're not talking about what Snowden released 4 months ago. Prism we know about now. He also released, I believe, on Friday or over the weekend, the facial recognition software that they were actually they're actually capturing of American citizens. And then Snowden had his interview last week with Brian Williams, and John Kerry came out and spoke out about it. But my question is, with all this happening, tell me, how do you deal with this? I don't understand why you would give 5 for 2, 5 for 1. That's a bad deal, isn't it?
Well, evidently, this hostage, he must have had some secret information, because these were very high-ranking members who were very high-ranking terrorists who were members of Al-Qaeda, and they released them over to the government of Qatar.
So
whether they want these men to be set up to be killed once they are released from Qatar, I don't know.
So my question is, what made this one soldier so important that you would trade him 5 to 1? That's a bad hand
sure,
in any poker game.
Yeah, right now he's in Germany, but I'm sure he's not. They say he's receiving treatment. He's not receiving treatment. He's being interrogated right now.
Oh yeah, they have to. But interrogating, I mean, what's it called, South Carolina? Is it when you come out?
Debriefing.
Or they're debriefing him.
Debriefing.
Debriefing, yeah.
So my question is, why would you give away 5 men that you captured that are colonels in a terrorist cell that have everything inside of them and give them back for one guy?
He evidently has a lot of information that's covert that they want.
No.
So y'all don't think this guy may have been some type of covert spy?
No.
Spy
or
what?
Not even close.
There's
something wrong here.
But
the problem of covert spy.
But I think what it is they're going to have these Taliban executed.
Have you heard that we have rules here? Have you heard that we got new rules here? If you haven't heard, let me know, and I'll make sure to tell you. We will not talk on top of each other. Go ahead, Diva. I think that was you.
I'm just saying, for them to release five top-ranking spies, there's just something a little more to it. I mean, not spies, but to release five top-ranking Taliban members. It just goes to show it's for the government to want to go through that length to get this one man back. It just goes to show something more to it.
Diva, it's not the government doing this. This is your president and his cabal of people doing
this.
And they've been doing. He is not the government. He is not the government. You are the government, up for and by the people. He's your employee.
Different administrations, guys want to figure out what is what. It doesn't matter how you try to spin it.
This is why, Diva.
Established as the executive branch, the legislative branch, and the judicial branch. And which part of the branch
that
the president
hold on, Eric.
Belongs
to.
Yes,
I need to finish.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Diva, once again, we're not talking about that he's not part of the government. He is part of the government. What we're saying is you have an ideology here that has been consistent throughout. He has gone through the rest of the world and destabilized governments that were governments that were working with the West and put all people from the Muslim Brotherhood in charge of those nations. It happened in Benghazi, and he got double-crossed and attacked. It happened in tried to happen in Syria, but Syria president in Russia is kicking his butt, and they can't do anything with them right now. But they're going to get there, and they're going to overthrow Syria as well. It happened in Egypt. He did that too. So now you tell me why he's so hell-bent on doing two things. Why is he so hell-bent on allowing the radical Muslim Brotherhood to take control of places? He's going to try to make it happen in Israel, and he's going to get met with stiff opposition as well. And then last thing, you watch this. What the heck does that have to do? Why does he push this homosexuality on all the nations that he's supposedly dealing with, but never asked one single Muslim nation to allow homosexual rights?
Not even deal with their women, how they treat them.
No, exactly. The women's right, the war on women. Why don't you see him say one word to those nations? Hillary Clinton didn't say one word to any Muslim nation. But any other thing, he was right on it.
Was that you, Eric, of South Carolina?
Yeah, it's almost like he wants the old days when Jimmy Carter was in office.
Carter 2.
314, your mic is on. Bianchi.
334.
I was still listening.
Okay. I'm just saying, there's something fishy about this, if I'm not mistaken. It just looks a little crazy for me. Because I don't understand, and maybe because I'm not that proficient in foreign policy like that, maybe it just doesn't make sense to me. I don't get it.
They were saying on the news, even on NBC, that the decisions that this administration is making doesn't seem to be making sense right now.
Yeah.
Now even NBC.
Can I interject one thing?
Yes. Go ahead, Alabama.
This is my thing. Now, we're dealing with a country that's so sophisticated, they can do a lot of different things. They're going to release these guys, right? And you're telling me they're not going to inject, you know, they force shoot these guys up with all types of, nanotechnology that can report where they are, what they report, record what they're saying. I mean, do you honestly think they just let them go without any type of, if they want to kill those guys, make them have a heart attack, all they got to do is probably hit a button. I mean, how stupid do you have to be just to release these guys with no bearing? Obviously, the government is way more sophisticated than we think they are. We're up in the air.
Oh, yeah.
But these guys are way more. Wait, they five, six chess
okay.
moves ahead.
Wait a minute. Why did we trade five for one? And why did we? What was so important that they had to do it right?
Because they're probably going to use them. They're probably going to use them to capture more people. If they catch you and they inject you with something, that's it, man. They can trace you. They can They got all types of stuff in the government that can do different. They tell people where you are, what you're thinking, how you feel, your body temperature, everything. They got stuff they can put in your body to let you think they just let those guys go.
Yeah,
the Taliban does not have the technology to stop this type of stuff.
Okay. Let me say this. I don't believe they. I don't believe that you may have thought of something very, very covert. I don't think they did that. I just don't think they injected those five guys.
I don't think
Obama would think that far ahead. To be honest with you,
I don't think they put our hands on these kids.
It's not Obama making the decision.
Oh yes, it is. Yes, it is.
You have to. Your president has to be. And he's supposed to be notified of any type of activity. He's supposed to be briefed, but they tell me he doesn't show up at the briefings. But he's supposed to be briefed at all that on every level.
Tracy, let me interject this. Don't forget that this is the same president who wants to close Guantanamo but doesn't know what to do with these guys that are like this.
So you let them go home.
So
look, if it's low-end guys, let them go. They're criminals.
Hold on, Alabama. He's found a convenient way to let the worst of the worst go so he doesn't have a problem justifying closing the facility with lesser people. And so he doesn't give a, you know, you have to understand, he does not care. He is ideology driven, and he's driven to destroy America, and he's going to do it. This last thing today with these EPA regulations going to shut down the rest of 60% of your electrical grid. Coal is 60% of your grid. And now that means electricity costs are going to be so sky high. What happens to that 99% after this is put in, after $50 billion a year is taken out of your economy with this foolishness?
Because, you know, let me go back.
He refuses to go through with the Keystone Pipeline as well. Now, once you empower that region over there with all the oil to not, you know, to the point where they don't like us anyway, it's going to be hard to get oil.
You know, BP was here. And they were drilling for natural gas. I think Sticks can speak to this. And they pulled out of Trumbull County. They put $1 billion in here, Sticks, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And they pulled out.
Right.
They packed up their offices. They packed up their cookies, and they said, "I'm out."
But they're still holding leases.
Right. And the EPA rate. I mean, there's enough rumor grids going around that people know where the president's going with this, because they've really slowed down the exploration of natural gas and getting it transported, if I'm not mistaken.
Just up north here. It's still booming.
In other places?
Columbiana County South, it's still booming.
Okay. So tell me, if that be the case, because the power grid, I believe Ohio runs on coal. Our power grid runs on coal.
Pretty much.
Well, not all of it. But
a good portion of it. I mean, you take out that power grid down there in West Virginia going south.
What is Samus? The Samus plant?
Coal.
Is that coal?
Coal.
And tires. Right.
We're a coal generated electrical state.
Right. And to burn natural gas to make electricity, you have to build entirely brand spanking new power plants. You cannot convert a coal plant to burn
natural gas.
And there's something else about burning that gas that people don't realize. If you have a major grid malfunction. And all your power is being generated by natural gas, you no longer have the electricity to run the compressors to increase the pressure of the natural gas to run your turbines. It's a self-destructing way of doing business. You've got a coal-fired power plant, they can run for 3 or 4 months.
Because right now, I look at the president, and I think that he's all over the place. And if I'm mistaken, y'all stop me and say, "Tracy, you're nuts." But he's all over the place in what he's doing and how he's doing what he's doing. And right now,
Tracy, you're nuts.
I'm nuts?
You're nuts, Tracy. That's what you just told me to say.
I said only if it's true.
I think he's doing certain things. He's setting stuff up. The Republican get in, he's gonna do the same exact stuff. I'm telling you, it's not the way it's set up. It's run by banks. It's not.
He has to do it now, Alabama, because if he loses the midterms, he's done.
The way things are being projected, they are going to lose the midterms.
Silly, you can't just jump in. Wait a minute. If he loses the midterms, he's
Hey, but
done
I'm constantly being talked over. Why is that?
What'd you say?
I'm constantly being talked over on your show.
Because you
People
won't
constantly
wait.
Talk over me.
Because you won't wait. And you're going to have to be patient so that you so when we get your point in, we can hear it. But you can't just jump in and cross over. You just can't do it anymore. It's bad business for me.
Well, people constantly cross over on me.
Then you have to wait. And I'm trying to control them also, but you're going to have to wait. Conversation over. Finish, Jeff, so I can go to break.
Well, anyway, you know, I lose my train of thought whenever that happens. But, you know, but once again, if he loses the midterms, he is going to be done. He's really done now, but this executive order is a huge power for him. And that's why it is very tantamount that Benghazi go forward, all these other things go forward, so you can bring the truth out on them so you can stop them because they are way out the box.
What I'm saying is, and I don't believe the truth is going to come out.
It's going to come out.
It's not going to come out because they raise their head and then they squash it. They cut it off. They will not allow the investigation to go to complete it in.
No power yet.
Again, even when power ends, maybe if the midterms change things,
yeah.
But by that time, President Obama will have put so much in action.
Yeah, it'd be hard to stop.
That's what I'm saying. You can't stop a moving train. The momentum it will kill you. And I don't think that's going to happen. Go ahead, Philadelphia.
Well, the way things are being projected now, he is going to lose the midterms elections. So the agenda of the Democratic Party is being pushed, especially when it comes to any type of global warming types of laws that they're trying to push through. They're going to do that before November. So if they're trying to deal with the environment and different types of environmental disasters they believe may be on the horizon, they're going to push their laws through now. And so if they're dealing with energy or anything else, they're going to try to push that agenda now because once he loses the midterms in November, he's going to be a lame duck president.
Well, we know that.
Yeah, it's going to be. I think it's going to be one crazy summer.
Madeleine McCain, who is that? They're in search of her.
Oh, the young
McCain,
lady.
That's just a little.
Yeah, she disappeared.
She disappeared years ago, years and years and years ago.
What, is she, they're searching for her again?
Yeah, she was in Portugal. Her
yeah.
parents are Brits, and they were on vacation in
right.
Portugal, and she disappeared. But that's been 10 years ago, hasn't it?
So why is she back in the news again? I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSO. And the reason why I ask is because we got other kids missing in the country, and they pick and choose who they want to follow, and I have a problem with it. We'll be right back.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was all...
Oh, did she say she wanted to know why Madeleine McCain was back in the headlines?
I don't know. You heard about what's her name, didn't you?
Yeah.
All
right. Cool.
You heard about Mos Def. They say they're not going to let him back in the country. They revoked his citizenship.
Yeah, because he exposed what was going on at Gitmo in terms of the torture techniques, so they won't give him a chance to re-enter the U.S.
We already know that started Guantanamo already coming
Bay.
Out about what was going on Gitmo.
So there's something more to it. He didn't expose anything new about Gitmo. We already knew about Gitmo.
Exactly. So why did they do it?
That's crazy. I don't know.
Because yeah. It was personal. That was a personal attack against him, I think. You don't just take a guy's citizenship. Come on, man.
They didn't revoke
his citizenship. Well, he was living in South Africa for over a year.
Yeah, they didn't revoke his citizenship. I think I know he was speaking about the atrocities of South Africa and how our government makes a disparity between how they help other nations but won't do anything about what's going on in South Africa and stuff. But they didn't revoke his citizenship. They can't revoke his citizenship. What they're doing is they're holding him up. They're refusing him from coming to customs.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the same thing as not letting him in the country.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's not right. They're not letting him in the country, but they didn't revoke his citizenship. They can't do that.
Okay, revoke is whatever it is. I'm just saying that's not right.
They can try to bar him from entering the country, which is what they were trying to do.
That's crazy. I was like,
I mean, surely Obama knows nothing about this, but I'm just saying. I mean, I just think it's messed up.
Right. That's the only thing that gets me is he probably is like, well, I know nothing about it. But then again, can he really get involved in every
he'll read about it in the paper.
I'm sure he's read about it. He's heard about it.
Oh, he'll hear about it on the news.
But it's just stupid. That, it's amazing how a person in a position of power can do something like that. Because he said he got fed up, he got tired of living in America. So he decided to move around, and he ended up in South Africa's
ran by a small elite group of what are they, Boer settlers, you know, the white guys that are running. So South Africa's no different.
Well, he said he felt like he was at home in South Africa.
I mean, Africa's Africa, but, I mean, so I can understand where he's coming from, but, yeah, man, I mean, it is what it is.
Well, see, the U.S. government is paranoid now, and they don't want, and if he put out that video where he showed the torture techniques that the U.S. government was using on the Gitmo prisoners, they think he might have inflamed some of the terrorists from Al-Qaeda around the world when they saw those things on YouTube. So now they're hesitant to let him back in the country, so it's a form of punishment.
You can't do that, though.
Yeah, they can. They can stop him.
They can do what they want to do, but it's not right.
They can refuse to let him through.
What was your target or aim for coming to Afghanistan?
We were told when we got here that we were supposed to do joint operations with the Afghan government, army, and police that are here now.
Okay. When you were coming to Afghanistan, what did your leaders tell you? Like, who were you fighting?
Our leaders told us that we would be fighting the Taliban. They gave us no more information on that other than we're fighting the terrorist group called the Taliban.
Now that you have been captured by the Mujahideen of Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan, what are you feeling?
Well, I'm scared.
What was that?
I'm scared I won't be able to go home. It is very unnerving to be a prisoner. But I have my girlfriend who is hoping to marry. I have my grandma and grandpas. I have a very, very good family that I love back home in America. Mm-hmm. And I miss them every day. And then I'm gone. I miss them. And I'm afraid that I might never see them again. And that I'll never be able to tell them that I love them again. I'll never be able to hug them.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600.
What are the apps that are...
They are saying that the questions are asked, being asked about the administration's swap with the Taliban to free the U.S. soldier. And that was the interview that he had done. So I wanted to play that. I don't think we are... There's just too much... There's so much going on. The undereducation of America, the over-corruption of government, the overreach of government, the lack of information being brought across. You don't get any facts. You don't get any information. You have to dig for it. And then when you dig for it, you have to question the source. And when you question the source, you got to know where the source came from. And the children, the spiritual overtone, all this is playing into our future. And I'm not quite sure if we are looking at the writing on the wall. Hey, good morning, 440. Welcome back again.
Yeah, I'm on a move. The thing that disturbs me is that, you know, you let five of the top Al-Qaeda guys go, and there's going to be retribution as far as they're concerned. We're not getting back one American. We're going to lose a bunch of Americans.
The question I have is,
he wants to destroy this country.
If I go back, if I go out, I mean, if I bargain for five people, they have to have some value. It's not that you're just bringing them home because they're going to die and they're old.
No, it is value to him. He wants to destroy this country, and he's doing it economically. He's going to do it any way he can. I mean, it's amazing that the people that you got, the liberals, they're still defending him. It's like, are you guys blind?
No. The Kool-Aid. The Kool-Aid is good. Jim Jones. You remember Jim Jones?
I mean, just as long as they get their hand out or something, I mean, I don't get
what
it.
What hand out? this is not about handout.
I don't know. I keep hearing this.
No. This is not about handouts.
The handout
remember,
king.
No, handouts get you elected, but they don't keep you in office. The rest of America, they don't even get handouts. They're just asleep. They've been numb to the fact that there's something going on here, and nobody wants to shake and wake them up and tell them that they're going to have to pay attention. And tomorrow
now
we'll have a little
ask
more.
You this.
Yeah.
Do you think that this? I still think that everybody that voted for him would still vote for him again.
I believe
think
that.
That's how stupid and blind that they are. I do.
Let me say this. I don't believe
every
that everyone.
This radio station. You haven't turned anybody. You know that.
I don't believe.
You know,
I don't believe that. Listen, I don't believe that everyone would vote for him, but I do believe there are pockets of the community of the population that he would still get the same vote.
Do you know that?
Because black people would vote for him again.
Well, most black people will, but not all.
But
yeah.
I said pockets of the population would come back and vote for him again.
Right, and
you
a
know
whole
that.
Lot of...
Do you know who listens? Do you know who listens to this radio station? You'll never be shut down. The government, they love you. They love you. They're seeing, oh, we can get away with this. I hear the same people get on here, defend him no matter what he does. And they're going, oh, yeah. You believe me, the government listens to you. Don't worry about being shut down.
They
yes,
listen
they do.
To me. They don't, and then they need to pay for it.
They listen to all your listeners is who they listen to.
Who really staunchly supports the president, and that's just me, probably. So I don't understand how you feel they love her.
You're not, sweetheart. You are not the only one. Don't forget Stanley.
Oh my God.
Stanley.
Don't forget Stanley.
Okay, two people out of your 15 callers. Two people.
No way. No way.
Oh, I don't know, because we got
well,
the
government is listening to everybody at this point.
Well, that's true, too.
Absolutely.
So, Jeff, be careful. Go out and start my car for me, please.
Do you put pennies on the hood?
No, you better put a quarter.
No, pennies. I don't want them to see it. In fact, put some dimes up there somewhere. Right on the edge. I ain't starting nothing. Now, you know, understand, just like yesterday, the day after a guy signs a contract for 88 to buy a business for $88 billion, the Inquirer, he just happens to the plane just crashes on takeoff.
That was that the guy who's his partner is the one that did it. His name is Lindfest. I think he was behind it.
I'll guarantee you.
Not necessarily.
Guarantee you. You know why? Because he walks away with all of that. With all of that.
Right. He walks away with the whole thing.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, if you want to go back, I got to go back to Donald Sterling.
Mm-hmm.
She was leaving him, but now that they say he's crazy, she going to keep him.
Deeper to keep her.
Hold on, Sal. Local call, your mic is on.
Yeah, this is Steve.
What?
Look, I'm calling to say that I voted for Obama twice, like Diva did. So I'm one of those liberals, too. Even though I'm not as intelligent as Diva is, but still, I voted for him, too, because I guess because he was a black man and because I agree with some of his policies.
Because he was black? Because he was black.
And how are his...
Because he was black. Because he was black.
That's not the only reason why. That's not the only reason why. I voted for him because I felt that he was good for our black.
Because he was black. Because he was black. Because he was black.
Because I felt that he would be good for the black people. He set a good example for them.
What song was that?
That he's a family man.
Yeah.
That he set a good example not only for the black people, but the black men. As a whole.
There's a song. What's the song? Because it was... What's that song?
Because I got high.
Because it was blood.
I got to go, man. But,
because I got high.
What song was that? Was that song? What was that song?
That was Afro Man. That was Afro Man. Because I got high.
That was high.
Oh, okay, there it is.
Tracy.
Yeah.
Tracy.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of interesting that... There was one person that was not on that plane that went down.
Yeah,
and that's the former head of the
that.
DNC.
He talking about Ed Rendell.
He couldn't make it.
Yeah, Ed Rendell was supposed to be on that flight, and he missed the flight.
He missed the flight, Ed Rendell. He's
a
former governor of Pennsylvania.
Go.
How should I say this?
Hey, Tracy.
Yeah.
Hey, Tracy.
Yeah.
This is way out there too. But I heard that on that Malaysia Airlines flight, there were some top level Chinese businessmen that had some trade secrets on that flight as well.
I heard that also.
Listen,
on that Malaysian flight,
Clinton did it.
Hey, y'all, don't be. Clinton didn't do it.
Yes, he did.
He did not.
Oh yes,
Ron Brown.
He got Ron Brown that way.
No, he didn't.
Not only Ron Brown, but all the CEOs from about 12, 14 different multinational companies. You have to understand.
See,
Ron
the whole
Brown
thing
said,
is this. If you're high enough in the food chain, any kind of law enforcement doesn't apply to you.
Philadelphia, you asked me why do I do that? That's just why.
Did you hear I was talking to them when you cut across me just now? Philly?
Say what?
I want to know, did he hear it? Because we have to adjust that if that's a problem. You cut right across me while I was talking. Did you know I was talking?
No, I didn't know you were talking, but the thing is this. People cut across me all the time. And I guess the reason why is because you don't like the sound of my voice.
Didn't I tell you that we had new rules? We will not talk on top of people. Did you have you heard of that? And I'm really trying to control this, and you won't comply?
People are talking on top of me.
Then wait until I call you, hear about your name, and just be patient until I can control Jeff, too. Go ahead.
I guess it's certain voices they don't like on here.
No, it's okay. You're a good boy.
Not,
don't worry
about
it.
It's
about
your voice. I want to hear what you have to say, but you're going to have to wait until I call you in. Go ahead, Jeff.
Anyway, like I said, I always lose my train of thought when
there
that
you
stuff
go.
Happens.
See?
But you got to start looking at what is actually going on, everybody, please.
They're not, look, you need to tell your family to look at what's going on.
Right.
Tell your kids they need to get an education. Don't let your children run and walk up in elevators by themselves. They can get stabbed. People are crazy. Things are going nuts, and you need to be more responsible nowadays. You can't afford not to be.
Yeah, you can't afford it, but I'm really feeling bad because for the type of government to work and capitalism to work, the people have to be an informed electorate. And when you don't have an informed electorate. You get what you have right now. You have people that are voting against themselves, thinking they're voting for themselves, and they're killing themselves little by little each election day, every single time.
Yes. The problem is they're not even, you can't convince, like, Diva, are you there?
Yes.
Would you, if President Obama were to run it for another term, would you vote for him again?
Depends on who's running again.
Hold on, Jeff. Don't cut me off.
Republican, yeah. Yeah, I would vote for him.
Hold on. If he were to run up against Hillary Clinton in the primary again, would you vote for him again?
I don't. I didn't even vote in the last primary.
That's not what I asked you. Knowing what you know now, knowing who she is now, if he were to run in another primary against Hillary Clinton, would you vote for President Obama again?
I don't know how Hillary Clinton would be as president, so I still would not vote in that primary. I can't answer a question I don't know the answer to. I just wouldn't. I'm sorry. I've never voted in the primary.
So you don't know who you would.
Primary.
But up against a Republican, you would automatically vote for President Obama again.
Yeah, because I don't agree with the Republican agenda.
Okay, now, hold on, Jeff. Hold on. Philadelphia, I want you to come in.
Yes.
What do you
think? Well, I personally think that he would be elected again because the reason why is because of the demographics of the country had changed so dramatically, and the Republican Party has not made its case that would allow them to get the Hispanic vote and the Asian vote. Republican Party changes the type of message it's putting out there and they're able to get that Hispanic vote, then I think that party is going to be able to win almost every election from here on out. But so far, they haven't done that.
Yeah.
Once again, that wasn't the question she asked. She asked, would you vote for President Obama again? And that was the question. But here it is. You have quote-unquote Diva who says that she's a born-again Christian, saying that she'll vote for a person that stands for everything but what she believes in because she thinks that she doesn't agree with the Republican, who hasn't done anything against Christianity, hasn't done anything against the people. But the thing is they tell you that they don't like the people and they don't want to help the poor because they say, we want everything to be just like it is in North Dakota, where you go to work and you go to work at a McDonald's and you get $10, $12 an hour because there's an economy that is running that supports that. And see, they don't want that. They want the handouts. They want the handouts to the poor. And this born-again Christian is going to tell you, oh, it doesn't matter about his homosexuality. It doesn't matter about his abortion evangelizing. It doesn't matter.
But this is the issue. Knowing what you know now.
Yeah.
This is not, and whether you be born again or not born again, no matter what your belief is, knowing what you know now, with your eyes wide open, knowing about the Veterans Administration, I'm not going to go into social issues, knowing about Benghazi, knowing about the question is, would you still blindly vote for the man, knowing that in your black community, he has not done, he's done absolutely nothing, and I think the last policy or last the initiative that he had, people are complaining about his execution of that.
Wait a minute. Not only that, Tracy, his policies are hurting the black community exponentially. The poorest minority in the country is the black community. The last one political power is the black community.
What'd you say, Eric?
Yeah, what happened to my brother's keeper initiative? I haven't heard.
That's what I'm saying.
They're
complaining about it right now. They got some problems with it. They can't. There's something wrong with it.
And who told you it wasn't going to work?
Oh, we all.
That's
did
a
that.
Bunch of fluff. Okay, me, and that's what I'm talking about. You get these backwards, idiotic thoughts that it's okay to vote for that.
Local call. Your mic is on.
Yeah, I want to shout out to.
Oh, no, come on.
I've had enough.
Please stop that foolishness.
I've had enough.
Once again, like I said, you're talking, and that's that's sort of, now Steve
what?
Is a nice guy, okay?
What's that?
And he got some issues possible.
No, we don't.
But the thing is you got a lot of people that don't have those issues that have that same
thought. Listen, you've got, I can name some of the most prolific, profound people in America that are, and they would still follow him down a cliff. And my question is, when do we wake up and say, you know, our education, everything is going south. And when you speak of, do you know what happens to when electric goes up? Sticks probably can speak to this.
Mm-hmm.
When your electric prices go up, what happens to your bottom line?
It goes down, or you raise your prices, one or the other.
And what happens to your family budget?
There's less money to spend on
it. Okay. Gasoline right now.
It's $3.79 here in Warren.
Right. And Giant Eagle playing games with 10 cents off, and you get 30 cents off, but they're high, 10 cents higher, so you only get 20 cents off. So I'm going to call them out. But I'm just saying.
With me.
But I'm just saying, when you look at that, it costs you more to fill up your tank.
Well,
you can't travel. Going to work costs you more.
For example, they just raised the sewer rates in a village where I own rental property. Now I have to raise all my rents. I have no choice.
You can't raise your rent.
I have to.
What do you mean you have to?
I have to.
You're just a money-grubbing landlord.
You're a evil conservative, man.
Well, Tracy, when you have a property like I've got, when the electricity rates go up, we have to adjust the rents because we pay the electricity bill. You have no choice.
Right. Water bills. They raise water rates because I'm ultimately responsible for water bills in the state of Ohio. I have to raise rents.
And water bills go up because they're moved to the system by electricity.
Right.
Absolutely. And so watch this effect that it's going to have on the 99% that would vote for him again.
440, your mic is on. Yes, hold on.
Yeah, you
hold
know,
on, Eric.
Jug County and Lake County and Cuyahoga County, it's at $4 right now.
What, gas?
Yeah.
Oh,
$4. $3.98.9. That's $4.
Tomorrow I'm gonna ask y'all a question. I want y'all all to find out. Tell me why when they have gas, it's like $3.79.9.
Well,
that's tomorrow.
You know, it's all good. I thank Obama for that. Thank you very much.
No,
he
didn't do that one.
He didn't do which one.
I want to know.
Just Bush,
he didn't do that.
Just Bush is capable of doing that.
Bush didn't do that either. I said gas prices are $3.98.9, $2.98.9, $4.98.9 instead of just 9 cents. Go ahead, Eric. I think that was you. South Carolina. Somebody.
It was Alabama. It was me, really.
Yeah, Alabama.
Y'all, you guys were talking a while ago about those guys getting released. This is the thing. They're Taliban. They're not Al-Qaeda, right? They're Taliban. The thing I'm struggling with is if we've got bin Laden, we overthrew one of the axis of evil countries in Saddam Hussein, we did all these different things, I'm struggling to understand what's the significance of holding somebody who really, Afghanistan really wasn't even on our radar before 9/11. Like, they weren't really one of our big problems. But now, because in the government, if we want to release those guys and send them back to a government who really didn't even have the resources to attack us outside of Al-Qaeda, but that's different from Taliban. Those are two different entities. Why is it a big deal?
Well, you want to know? I'll tell you.
In 2 minutes.
This is a big deal. First of all, those guys are not finished disrupting your balance of power, which is very nil now since the president has been in place. You have poppies over there in Afghanistan, and they supply the world with all of your pharmaceuticals that are based out of the poppy. You know that is billions and billions of dollars a year that these people are going to have at their fingertips. And you have a weak Pakistan that has nuclear weapons, and now you have no jump-off point to take those weapons over if those countries fall. You have done a total disservice to the United States, and it's out of balance.
And I mean, so you understand that this is the Taliban, the Muslim Brotherhood, and Al-Qaeda
They're all under the same premise that they all despise the United States, and they work in conjunction with each other. And it's all about the Western world and Israel, bottom line.
They call themselves freedom fighters now.
And the question is, these guys that they let go, the big deal is, and maybe I'm wrong, at the end of a war, do you let all your prisoners go and let them go back home? So is it like chess, you know, and you collect all your chess pieces, but at the end of the game?
Well, the thing is, we don't really care about the Taliban.
Alabama. You can't. I just told Philadelphia not to do that. Don't do that. Go ahead. Call me out, but don't
jump in
because I get it'll start. I get in trouble.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, no. What I was saying was, now that Bin Laden's been got, what difference does it make? I don't care. A lot of those guys are riding horses in caves. Leave them alone. Let them go home. Say what? We don't want anything from outside of the drugs. That's really
but
what
we're
we
not,
want.
But I don't think it's over. And this is what I said. I think I said this before. We fail to realize that these people are very, very patient. You remember, they sit in caves and are happy. They're very, very patient. They don't mind. You know, 20 years to them is nothing. Remember, Russia was over in Afghanistan, I think, for 7 years, 8 years, 10 years? And they walked away with their tail between their legs.
Yes, they did.
You know, and they were bankrupt when that happened.
But we helped that along. No,
we
may supplied the Taliban then.
Again, we might have supplied it. That's how we got into some of the mess that we're in now. Mm-hmm. But again, they're very, very patient, and for some reason we think that they're going to forget, and they don't forget. They're like an elephant. They lay in the cut because they haven't forgotten what you've done. And remember, we haven't finished this war. We've just come home.
And not only that,
this war is not about a win-lose. This war is about ideals. It's about belief systems.
No, Tracy, I'm going to tell you why. That's why Republicans lose, because the problem is you win. It was to disrupt Al-Qaeda and get bin Laden. We did we achieved and obtained everything you said. Now it's about an ideology. We need to stay over there. They need to become it's not, and
that's
look,
not
I'm conservative just like you, but I'm saying it's changing now. It's like, okay, now you got to stay for another 30, 40 years. And
that's not what I said. That's not what I said. That's not what I said. I said about the progress of it. Remember, we're letting these guys go home early so that they can plan. Look at the timeline, and I've got about a minute to say this. I'm going to call you up on the phone, and I'm going to tell you I'll be at your house Christmas. Now, I'm going to send all my kids to your house early. So they can set some stuff up so that when I get to your house, you know everything will be straight. And what they're doing is they're sending back the people who actually still don't like you. You never know what happened to them in Gitmo, and they've only been able to sit there for a moment and think. You're going to send them home with a timeline. They can go and organize in the timeline, wait for you to take your happy selves home, and then you think they're just going to sit at home and just eat sand and rice paper and ride on camels? I don't think so. I'll see you guys tomorrow. You're listening to Tracy.
Man, leave them folks alone. It ain't even look, I'm all for you got Al-Qaeda. You did what you had to do. Go home. Leave people alone. Like, people, I mean, staying over there for 20 years, establishing bases, go home. Like, we got 2,000 bases all over the world. We can get to anybody. It's about the drugs. I'd rather just come
right.
on the tip. Dude,
I think,
don't
what the military is
going to
do is they're going to end up sending some type of assassin over there to Qatar, and they're going to have those men killed. I mean, after they get released from the government of Qatar, they're going to have all four of those men killed, either by a drone attack or some type of special forces assassin team is going to go over there and do it. Because they're not going to let them go back into Al-Qaeda and start some stuff up again.
So do you think that they put some type of tracking system on them?
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Diva,
they have
them
tracked.
What would you do, Diva?
They have those men tracked.
They're not going to let them go and not keep tabs on them. That's definitely not going to do that.
Right. But all the thing I'm saying, they're going to track them. They're going to let them go back into the population. Then they're going to send a drone attack and have them killed.
don't even got to send a dog.
They're definitely not going to let them go back into Al-Qaeda.
They got stuff now, man. They can send a darn thing about big as a mosquito and kill them with cancer or some type of disease or something. They'll never know it was injected to them.
Right.
That's true. But I was wondering why they have a hard time believing. I mean, for them to go in and get one guy and release five top operatives, Taliban operatives, that they can't fathom that that dude is not as low on the totem pole as they want us to believe.
No, I think what it is, I think the guy has some information that's secret that the government wants, and that's the reason why they had him released.
So let me ask you something. Do you think that, because they will do anything and put some fly body in any situation undercover, do you think that that was his covert spy operation, maybe?
I think what it is, I think he saw or he has information as to the location of some of the high-ranking people in Al-Qaeda, and the government wants that information because he was in captivity for over 5 years.
Yeah, that's a long time.
That's a long time. He got a lot of information. And but me personally, how the whole situation went down from the jump, it just, from the beginning, it just looked like, for him to say, oh, he was lagging behind, or he just wandered off the base, that and he the only one to get captured, that just does not sound right to me. I'm sorry, I watched fictional movies, but I know enough to know that they will come up with a scenario to get into a place that they want to get into and make us think something completely different. I don't feel nothing.
I think I hate when I see when people in the Republican Party, Ron Paul's crazy, because this is, I think it's crazy to sit up here and say you're going to keep messing with these people. It's going to blow up in your face one day, worse than 9/11.
Yeah.
Because it's just common sense. Ron Paul telling them, look, man, leave people alone. And they ostracize that. He's crazy. Only because of his foreign policy. But I'm sitting like, man, leave people alone. What? Who? Nobody, Democrat, Republican, or Independent, has a problem with leaving people alone. If you want a military base, that's different. But if look, we want to go home, and I'm sure 90% of those countries will say, no, we don't want you here anymore. Come on, man.
But the reason why they don't want to leave them alone, because they don't want them to set up a terrorist training camp inside that country.
No, they don't care. They got training camps, and it's not about the drugs. Why do you think heroin has to have poppy in it, opium?
Using
that. It's the
because
drug.
If you look at it, there are training terrorist camps that are not just in the Middle East.
We got training camps in Alabama. That ain't got anything to do with it.
Exactly.
Look, man,
it goes back to your point, Alabama. Why are they concerned with just the Middle East? It is not just merely terrorism.
Why not the Sudan and Africa and all different other areas? Well, they all up in Africa. That's why they got Africa.
The thing is, though, if they have the coordinates, they can watch these people from space. There's no need to be over there, period.
Yeah.
I mean, I see it. It's clear to me.
But it's your party, mainly. They keep wanting to go over there.
Right.
Those are the people that I was saying was the progressives.
A lot of it has to do with the geopolitics of oil. You know, they want to be able to control the flow of oil out of the Middle East too.
And that's
out of
the main
Iran.
That's the main reason why we're over there to begin with. Why Bush had no problem going over there.
But Deepa, I'm gonna tell you something secret that I've seen an actual map of the, not a map, but a diagram of government spending. Military spending is like 50, almost half of what we spend, whereas like social program, all this stuff we complain about, I mean, everything is like real small. I'm not including Social Security, but everything else is real minuscule. So to me, it's like we sit and we fight and we're trying to beat up Diva for welfare and all these different programs. We really could afford some of this stuff if we just open up the military budget and see what they're really doing and what they're funding and where they're sending our money. Because I'm willing to say half of, we can run the country on 50% of what they say they're running it on. I'm sure another half is a dark budget that they do whatever they want to do with our money.
Yeah.
And, of course, not including the interest that they're paying to the Federal Reserve. That's got to be done. That's done before anything. But outside of that, if you can run this country on 40 cents on the dollar and give Beaver every penny that you think that we argue about, they can do it, and we'll still be straight.
Well, they use the military as their private corporate army to set up economic markets all over the globe.
That's the thing. It's like that's the real. It's like we're fighting over the symptoms, but the disease is cancer. So it's like we don't fight the cancer. The cancer is Eisenhower wanted this military-industrial complex.
The military-industrial complex.
When they killed Kennedy, that was it.
And then the biggest foe that they want to do is saying we have to spread democracy all over the world. No, we do not. I'm sorry, we don't.
What they're trying to do is spread capitalism all over the world so they can maximize their profits.
Exactly, but the way that you can get the
that's
people
not capitalism,
to follow,
though. That's crony capitalism.
The only way that they are going to be able to get Christians, evangelical right, to go along with this plan is by saying Islam is evil and we need to get rid of it and we need to attack them before they attack us and spread their evil religion all over the globe. That's how their followers follow Islam.
Philosophy of zakat, where they give, each Muslim has to give a portion of his income back to the poor. And so the Muslims believe in the support of the poor and the indigent. This is something the Americans really don't believe in.
Right, but evangelical
Wait, Philadelphia.
Are a huge portion of the
Republican I said the Muslim societies are set up in a way where the very wealthy have to give a certain percentage of their income back to the poor in that country, whereas in America, we don't want the very wealthy to give all of their income back to society, whereas the Muslims believe in that.
No, I'm saying because the Christian church is like one of the biggest givers on the planet, is the biggest giver of charity on the planet.
But at this point, the way we're asking the wealthy not to pay taxes, we don't believe in the very wealthy and giving a majority of their income back to society.
What I'm saying is the income tax is illegal in and of itself anyway. So I think you can get the taxes to do everything that Beaver's talking about and whatever you're talking about, and everybody still keep their personal income.
But
I believe you can do that.
But at one time in America, the income tax rate was 91%. You had more chances of a person moving from poverty into wealth than probably at any other time in the country's history. At the time that the income tax rate was 91%.
But that period started in 1983 and it went up to 2004. And actually, that whole 20-year period from him, Bush first, Clinton,
But now they want to get to the point where the very wealthy should pay 9%, just like the very poor. That flat tax makes no sense. The very wealthy pay 10%, and the poorest of workers pay the same 10%.
But that's the way it was drawn up, though. You're not supposed to have the graduated tax, so that's the way it's drawn up. You know that, right?
Say that again.
That's the way it was originally intended to be, and I thought it was 15. 999,
inequality has happened as a result of the income tax rate going down.
Let me say this right here, though. One thing I will say, I'm not for wealthy people just stopping other people from getting into business and competing with them. And I'm not for wealthy companies coming in, siphoning off government contracts, no-bid contracts, and calling it capitalism when they're going over and doing all these different things in these other countries. That's not capitalism. So I think we can come to agree that there are certain things that we can agree on, and let's focus on that and come up with ideas on that level. Because ideologically, I'm not probably going to match up. Everybody's not going to match up on this phone. It's just impossible.
Well, the reason why you have so many people not making a decent income because people don't have the chance to get a decent education. And what has happened is the country has never really invested in the public educational system.
Dude, man,
and that's the reason why you have so many people
on a campus right now. I'm on campus right now.
Who just want the minimum wage because they don't have jobs.
You know how many black people that are educated that don't have job skills? I'd rather get a Trenum technical college, a little small technical college degree, than a bachelor's, because a lot of people going in for psychology and early childhood education and certain things that you know you're going to make under
$30,000. Early childhood education. But see, early childhood education, the reason why you're not going to get a job is because there's no funding in public education anymore.
No, you can get a job. You can get a job. It's not going to pay that much.
Hold on. There's no dollars going into mental health. There is no funding for mental health. That's why you can't find a job. It's not that it's not a good market, because the market is out there. We have a lot of mentally ill people.
No, as a black man, I can get a job in education very easily. But the problem is, it won't pay the bank $40,000 or less. I can go be get an engineering degree paying $60,000 for the same amount of time in school. Which job would
but
I go into? You got a lot of black people going into jobs that aren't based off science and math. And if it doesn't have to do with science and math, you're not going to make any money.
Well, that's the reason why the country has imported so many Asians over here, Indians and Chinese, reason why you see so many of them over here, because we don't have people who are good in science and math, because they haven't had that early education in public school to make them good at those subjects.
Exactly.
And so as they get older, if they haven't been primed when they were young, they have a very difficult time.
I put a very simple math equation on my Facebook page, because on another person's Facebook page, the people were just not getting the answer. So I put it on my Facebook page, and the disparity between those people and the people who all answered correctly on my page was astounding. Just about the consensus of the majority answered the same way on my page. Now, when I looked into the background of what school they went to, they were white and went to school in suburban areas. The people on the other page were black, mostly raised in the inner city.
Yeah, but
the thing is,
if you don't figure out, if you're going to go and add, hold on, a lot of those folks are just going in adding parentheses where they weren't there. Parentheses changes the whole structure of a math equation.
But the thing is, they don't know the basic structure, how to solve a basic algebraic equation. That says a lot.
I mean, basically, at this point, when you talk about the inner city public education, you have a lot of people who go into the 7th grade and the 8th grade, and they are not able to read on grade level. So, therefore, when they go into high school, a lot of them, you know, they're not going to be functional adults if they go into the type of, if they go into the type of society that we have today, where you have very advanced jobs that require all types of technical skills, they're not going to be able to keep up. So if they go to Walmart or McDonald's and try to get a job, you know, they may keep that job for 2 or 3 years, but that's not going to improve their lot in the job market, because they don't have those technical skills.
Simple and plain, the people that know how to add, subtract, and read rule the world. Simple as that. And if you don't want to do that, you want to complain. And one of the problems, I mean, this is thing is going to be unpopular. I don't know if Dean is going to agree with me. A lot of black people, when you try to raise the standards for graduating, and they complain. They want you to lower it to a fifth grade level, and then they wonder why they can't get a job when they graduate, because the graduation exam, I took a graduation exam at a ninth grade level and passed it first time. But you had students that couldn't pass it.
Okay.
They lowered it to like a sixth grade. They still was flunking.
I took mine in my graduation test in ninth grade, but I had to pass I had to take the math portion twice. And no one can sit here and call me a dumb person. The fact of the matter is, the public education system, especially in the inner city, is very laxing. That's the problem people have coming out of high school and not being able to go to college, not being able to get
a good
job.
You went to an inner city school. You went to an inner city school.
Yes, I did.
Okay, let me ask you.
The thing about me is,
if you apply yourself, if you apply yourself, if you go, like, I went to an inner city school, so to speak, Carver and Lanier, they inner city hood schools, fight every day after school, crazy, whatever, right? But the thing was, we had students that applied themselves. When they applied themselves, we talking about students went to Duke. We got students that went to Yale, come straight up out the hood. But they applied themselves, and they took the same education that another kid that flunked and complained. What's the difference?
That's the thing. I don't think it has to do with they're not applying themselves. I think it's more so they don't understand it.
Right, but the main,
why did those teams go to Yale and the other ones didn't? Then I mean, I'm just trying
to.
The
main difference is this: is that they don't have the cultural background of education as people who were Asian do. People who were Chinese and East Indian, they have a cultural background where they put education on a pedestal. So African Americans don't have that.
Why is it that an Asian can raise to the level but a black kid can't? Or Asian can raise because it's good for white people.
Because they don't have the same level of motivation as the Asian kid.
No,
the Asian kids have very high levels of motivation.
Exactly.
They're very goal oriented.
Exactly.
But their government is behind educating them. Their government is behind making them the smartest in the world, the smartest and brightest in the world. Our government is not behind our kids.
Right?
No, they come over here and grow us in America and still test at the top. Why is that? They in America.
Because
they're not over there.
Because
of their family structure. Their family structure is different than African Americans.
Exactly. I agree. That's it. Right there. Family.
But the fact is, okay, my father taught me and my older sister basic algebra when I was 9 years old. Now, I didn't pay too much attention, but she did. So as I got older, I had her help me and I had my father help me. A lot of these kids didn't have that. They had parents who had them very young, didn't finish school, didn't even get to the algebraic level themselves, so how are they going to help their kids?
Yeah, that's the heart of the matter.
Hold on. I've never played baseball, right? Never played it. If my child wants to play baseball, I'm going to find ways for him to play baseball. I'm going to go find the knowledge. All I'm saying is if you want – because there were ways when I was in school, I took my mom dropped out of like a ninth grade. I'm one of them. Let me talk. My mom dropped out in ninth grade, right? I was taking calculus in high school. She didn't know nothing, right? But she went to the college, university, went to the math department over at the university, found some calculus students. They sat down. She gave them $25, $30 one day to sit there and show me some stuff. And these kids got my phone number. They were calling once. And that's how I passed. She went and found it. She took the initiative to make sure. Now, it's my mama who didn't really have a lot of money, didn't have the best education, but she said, I can't afford to go pay Sylvan Learning, send hundreds of dollars, but I can go give a college student $20 to teach you how to do, you know, tell you about derivatives. I can do that. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened.
Well, you had a good parent, but a lot of people don't have a good parent. And also, in a lot of cases, the grandparents are the ones that actually have to parent because the mother and father, they're out in the street doing
things in the street.
And they can't parent their children.
They don't want a parent. They want to have a government raise their kids. It's your job. It's your job as the teacher to teach them. That's what you're supposed to do. I shouldn't have to come home and go with him through his lesson and go through. Well, she got 40 students.
Saying,
she got 40 students in the class. So she can't sit there and individually go with her kids.
That's what we're saying. And that's what we're saying, Alabama. It's the education system. That's the problem. The problem is
if she got 40 students. Let me make a point. If you got 40 students, though, Diva, I'm sorry, Diva. Life is like that. Like, you're going to have to show some initiative and get out there on your own. You're going to have to.
Yeah. But see, a lot of us have had the plantation mentality for a long time, and we expect the white man
to
do everything for us.
Exactly. We want to cradle people. I'm going to teach you everything. Okay, you don't get it? Okay, I'm going to stay here at 10 o'clock at night. No. I gave you the lesson. If you need it, and I'm going to tell you something. What I didn't do when I was in school, there were remedial sessions I could have went to. The teacher would stay. I took my ass home. I was playing basketball, chasing movement.
But there are
That's
not
why I got behind.
There are teachers who are not doing that anymore.
Not all the way across. Not every inner city school is like that. I guarantee. Look, my sister is a principal. My sister's a principal. My sister got an award nationally. My sister got an award nationally. Got a PhD. She's real. They are one of the best, and they don't have no money. They don't have no funding. But those kids are going to college. They're coming back. All of them.
Right. But the thing is this, is that you have teachers' unions that protect bad teachers if they teach in these inner cities.
So
what happens is all of the good teachers get transferred to one or two particular schools, and the rest of the teachers, they stay at the neighborhood schools, and they can sit there and do nothing all day, and they're still able to get their paycheck. So basically, exactly. You don't have any kind of accountability inside the, basically like inside the whole profession of teaching.
But let me
if you're teaching in the inner city, you don't have that accountability.
Let me ask you something. If all three of us on this phone had kids and we were poor and we wanted our child to go to one of the best colleges in the country, wanted them to get a scholarship, which I'm sure every parent, any good parent would want, what would you do? Not having any money, what would you do? And I'm sure you're going to succeed, but I want to know how
would
you
do about
succeeding?
What you would do is you would have to, whenever your child came home from school, you would go over their homework. You would make sure that they did outside academic work so that the following school year they would be caught up in everything and they would do well. They would get high grades. But, see, you don't have African-American parents doing that. They'll push their kids to play basketball or play football or run track.
Come on, man.
Because those are only fields they see black people actually achieving things in.
Come on. I agree. Diva, what would you do, Diva? What would you do?
I would do the same thing. I'm doing that now. I'm pushing my daughter is 13.
So you're assertive, and your daughter's, I'm sure your daughter's a very good student, right?
Yeah.
Yep. That's what I'm saying. But you're taking the initiative. I'm sorry. Parenting has to count. We've lost that. Like,
right?
Yeah,
as black people, we don't.
But here's the thing. When I look at my mother stressed the importance of education and us going off to college. We also looked at our surroundings and said we want better than what she was able to give us, and we want better than what we see other people going through. So it was not only just on our mother, it's on us because, like I tell my daughter, I can only get you so far. I can't force you to do anything that you really don't have the mind to do. But just look around. It's on you to want more for yourself. I can want it all I want for my daughter, but she has to want it for herself. I saw parents who did everything right, and a kid still turned out wrong.
Well, if it turned out wrong, there was something missing in the personal aspect of their parenting. And that's...
But there is no perfect parent. There is no perfect parent. You cannot... It doesn't come in a handbook. It doesn't come with... And it's,
no.
It's, there's no perfection to it. You do the best that you can in the situation that you deal with. There are some people... who are doing it right, or at least
well, you have
trying
to follow
to
that adage in the Bible, in the book of Proverbs, where it tells you to teach up a child in the way that it should go, and when it becomes older, it's not going to depart from that.
No,
and that's
no,
what every parent
right
has
now.
To go by.
I'm going to tell you right now, I've seen parents who did that, who followed that scripture, and their kids still went their own way, because guess what? That scripture says teach your child in the way that they should go.
That's a rule of thumb, though. That's not a law. That's just a rule of thumb, Diva.
Yeah.
That's just a rule of thumb. That's not the norm. That's not going to happen every time. Like, 90% of the time, you're probably right.
That's what I'm saying. We are still a free will. So we still have the ability to go
against
free will.
Yeah, but I think it's much ado about nothing, though. I mean, it's much ado about nothing.
But the main problem that we have today is we don't have people being taught properly in the first place. So all you can do as a parent is teach your children the proper things, and hopefully, you know, if they do stray from a certain path, if there's time and they have the opportunity, they'll find their way back. But that's all you can do as an individual.
Billy, the statistics support what you're saying, because kids from the suburbs, from those schools that you talk about, all of them ain't wealthy, but a lot of them are just middle class, but they don't go selling drugs. They don't turn out to be. But, yeah, if you come from that certain segment of population where you don't have and your parents don't care, then that is the biggest problem. Look, I can have the worst school in the world. In Montgomery, we're giving $20,000 per semester for each kid. That's $160,000 for the school. The teacher's getting $40,000. The other $120,000, where is it going? The schools are built and paid for. Where's the money going? To the administration, to the people downtown that's making $700,000 a year as a superintendent. Of a city with 200,000 kids, that's the problem.
That's the same thing that's happening here in Philadelphia. The school district is falling apart. They can't put a budget together.
One of the worst education systems in the city. In the United States.
This type of thing is happening all over The state governments do not want to invest in the public education system.
How much does a superintendent make up there? I'm sure he's making a couple of million dollars a year each.
Oh, yeah, definitely. He is making $1 million. The person who's the superintendent of the public school here is making over $1 million in salary. And you have people who are high up, like in the school district, like the person may be some type of an administrator or something. They're making six-figure salaries.
And then when a teacher gets tenured after 3 years, after that third year, when they tenure, they get the teachers that have.
How are you going to get the so-called best to come into those districts without paying them?
Right, but what we're saying is that
you have a situation where these organizations
are top-heavy, where the administrators make all of the money, and the new teacher does not make that much money. So basically, you have teachers that are teaching in the classroom, they're not getting paid that much.
If you split it up and allow some of those teachers coming out of college to get $80,075, then you'll start seeing some good, educated, bright people coming in. But if you're going
to
pay them
$35,000, give them a monetary incentive.
Hold on, Philly. If you don't give a guy been there, okay, he's been there 4 years, so we're going to give him a $75,000. His students are falling. They don't care. He's been there 4 years. He's tenured. He's a union. You can't fire him. So, bam, he's getting $75,000. So he's sitting on his butt. Letting kids, and I had teachers like that would sit down and watch the news while we just talk and act crazy and have fights. And they're making a bunch of money because they've been there longer than everybody else. And
right.
they're not giving you results. And then when you try to make them get results, they march in the streets. And the news media comes in and says, oh, yeah, this is unfair for the teachers. What about the kids? That's what they use. They put your kids up to pick your odds. Yeah, we got to give it to the teachers. Then they go back in there and sit back down and your kid wind up going to jail. That's what happens.
Right, and then also a lot of these kids, they have social workers that are assigned to their families. Their parents are on drugs. They may have a father that's on drugs, or they have a parent that's in jail. So therefore, you have a lot of dysfunction at home as well.
And how can you really learn with all that dysfunction at home?
You know what? It's certain people, man. I've seen people do some amazing things. I've known guys that mom was on drugs. Let me pause. This guy, my homeboy, his mom was on drugs. He was brilliant. And he was strong. Not everybody's like that. So I agree. I'm just trying to say that it is rough when your mom's got some guy in there drilling out in the next bedroom. She's screaming while you're trying to get your homework. That's not the best education, setting to get a good education.
Right.
You got stories of the young girl who was homeless, the young man who was homeless, the one guy was sleeping, the young man sleeping in his car, and he ended up getting a scholarship to Harvard, I think. So you have some exceptions that regardless, no matter what, they're going to fail.
You have some exceptions, but if you look across the board, the Asians are dominating on these college campuses. If you go to any college campus, most of the kids on the campus are Chinese or Indian or white.
Look at them, though.
Yeah.
And the African-American numbers are steadily going down. And with them attacking affirmative action the way they are, those numbers are going to go down even more.
Exactly.
So that's the whole thing, is the African-American people as a community have to get their family unit together. Because they're being outpaced.
I don't think the quotas should be tied to money. Because I'm going to tell you what happened in my case. When I graduated from high school, I didn't take the ACT. I was in the hospital, so I missed the ACT. But I got accepted into college anyway. You're not supposed to get accepted into college without taking the ACT. But they accepted us. And then that following semester, they told us we could not come back. So the big scandal was, they were only accepting minority students who haven't taken the ACT so they can meet their quota to get their government grants, to get their money. And then after they already got their money, then they basically suspended everybody who didn't take the ACT and forced everybody to take it again. So I don't think in that sense that affirmative action should be tied to financial dollars.
But then what happens as well they use the SAT on the East Coast, they'll take people who have a lower average SAT than most of the college population, and they'll encourage them to not major in hard subjects. So they may graduate from an elite university, but their degree will be in French or English or some type of social science, but they won't major in the hard sciences, the ones that actually require you to study all 4 years. So therefore, you have a lot of African Americans who have degrees, but they won't get the very high-paying jobs because they don't have the right type of degree. So even if you see black people on campus, that doesn't mean everybody's going to be successful once they graduate.
But another thing I noticed is they're not even looking at the kid's potential. They're just looking at their grades and their test scores.
Right.
Because you're supposed to, you should, if you looked at every child and encouraged every child to participate and go off to college and guide them in high school, because by that time you become a senior and then you're talking about college, well, nobody was guiding me into this before.
Right.
They leave the below average, the average and the below average students, they leave them out.
Yeah, they don't even figure, if you're below average or average, they don't even assume that that person is even going to go to college. And that's the reason why the prison populations have increased among black and Hispanic men, because these men don't have job skills. They may work at McDonald's or Walmart for a few years after they come out of high school, but they find they can't make a living doing that. So the majority of them turn to drugs.
Here's the thing. I've seen some drug dealers, Princess Hutch, I've seen some drug dealers that they had their own business, that they would run, they would have a pretty successful business. But because they were never encouraged in school to want more,
right,
whether it be their parents or through the education system, they were never encouraged because they were looked at as below average or average. Oh, we assume that they don't want anymore. They don't want anymore. We never encouraged them to really say foster what's already inside of them. A lot of
right.
these drug dealers, man, they're not dumb. I know
no, they're not dumb.
To Harvard. I know one who could have went to Harvard. He's so smart. And I'm like, why?
Well,
he was like, school
it's because they didn't have the, when someone thinks about some of these universities, the amount of money is a very daunting prospect in their mind in terms of how they're going to pay for it if they don't have the grades or the standardized test scores to get a scholarship. And then also, they don't have the family background. See, in a lot of cases, they don't have anyone in their family who has been to college. So therefore, they don't really know about the academic experience, but yet they may be inherently very intelligent. But they don't have, but they basically don't have the support system.
Right. Come high school, they're written off. Well, middle school, they're basically written off. Nobody wants to deal with them. Nobody wants to work with them. Because
mm-hmm.
what they sort of realize is a lot of these kids who are not failing because they're dumb. They're failing because they don't. The curriculum is boring. Not
mm-hmm.
every kid sits there and learns the same way.
You have teachers that are not interested in minority students as well. You know, the teachers can play favorites in the classroom. If the teacher has a student who's Asian or Jewish, they'll spend extra time with them thinking that they're going to be successful. And if they are in the same classroom with a Hispanic or a black student, they'll kind of push them to the side or not encourage them the same way. So you have all of that happening in classrooms that are integrated. Hello? All right, well, I guess the conversation...
I gotta go. I gotta
All right, okay. All right, goodbye.